about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh, oh, time to get up. Hey, Bert. Oh, Bert. Time to get up, Bert. The alarm just went off, Bert.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm cold. Switch up, and then, well, now I'm cold. All right, bend over. Okay, I'm slipping, and then bad things.
Everybody stop undressing. We just had harassment training.
I can't. I don't even know what to say. It makes me sick. I want to barf every time I get near it. I can't take it anymore.
Act like I'm not here.
Fun fact.
Do not talk to me. I'm not here. Do you hear me? I mean, you don't because I'm not here, but I'm not here.
What about an emotional support squirrel?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Why is this a thing?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Like, it's so annoying.
Roll another one.
Hello, Dare.
Just like the other one.
Hey, now.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
How many times a day do you think somebody should poop?
Please drink responsibly.
This one seems to be about
bing, bing, bing.
Bleh, bleh.
I don't have another cent.
Funny that you say that, Allie, because that was not the case.
Anybody else got a question?
Just pass it around.
You could look it up on the internet, it's up there somewhere.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Screw all the haters and what they say.
Well, just pass it on down.
And now.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Our feature presentation.
R.I.P. Kevin, you guys.
Mm-hmm. I miss him.
Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. This time it's Ray Fry. Yay!
Yay!
Yeah, yeah. 27th of September. It's certainly not a legacy. I'm not suggesting it's anything as grand as that. But when I start to think about what I hope this show is remembered for, I hope it's for being the show that stole Meow Yoki from another morning show.
And then the guy on that morning show got fired a couple of months later, yeah.
Right. I hope that's what we're remembered for, is the ones who saw the genius of Meow Yoki and brought it to the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so.
And didn't reach back for the other dude. No need. Don't remember his name.
don't need him. Don't care.
No.
Right. Mm-hmm. How y'all doing?
Good.
Pretty good.
Yeah? No one get hurt yesterday?
I'm living in a bubble now.
Okay.
I'm nervous about what's going on at this station, at this show in particular.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So I'm living a Final Destination life. I'm seeing everything around me.
I do feel, and it has been suggested by many listeners, that there is something contagious about the injuries going on right now. And, I mean, look. That story in the news from earlier this year about 9 nurses at the same hospital getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some stuff is contagious, and it shouldn't be. There's no scientific or logical explanation as to how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing happens to a bunch of people at the same time.
Yeah. Dave thinks, excuse me, sorry. Dave thinks I broke my collarbone because it was karma for dropping him when he was trying to do a handstand.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, so. I think God would have rewarded you if karma was real.
Well, 2 of us are in slings right now, so that's where we're going. And who knows what condition Kevin's going to be like when he comes back on Monday.
Right.
I mean, after a week in Spain, there's any number of things that could have gone wrong.
Yeah.
He could be gored by a bull for all we know.
Oh, no.
Like they do in Spain.
He, I think a couple people on the show, not I, but I believe a couple people on the show have been talking to him from when he's at a nightclub. Like, it's the middle of the night, and he's sort of like, at a nightclub, like, excitedly. So,
okay. Look, here's one thing I'll say about Kevin, is that he squeezes every minute out of his vacations. You know what I mean? Like, he's not thinking about this show.
No.
And won't be until he wakes up Monday morning.
And right.
Maybe Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he'll be shark as a tap.
He won't be any of those things. Yeah.
All right. A couple of stories in the news yesterday, and then we'll tell you about today's, I think, excellent all-new Kevin and Bean show. They both involve bathrooms on airplanes. Mm. Two different, I won't say disasters, but kind of not what people were expecting when they got on a plane and had to be diverted. Mm-hmm. Boy. Has that happened to you, where you've been on a plane and it's had to be diverted to someplace you didn't get to land at your destination?
Just once for weather, not something happening in a bathroom.
Yeah. An Alaska Airlines flight had to make an emergency landing yesterday after a passenger threatened to storm the cockpit. Why? Because he couldn't use the bathrooms in first class.
Well, that is aggravating.
The flight from JFK to LAX was forced to land in Kansas City, which must have been a disappointment to everybody on the plane. When the man tried to enter the cockpit and then made a threat against the aircraft, upset he wasn't allowed to use the bathrooms in first class, he said the bathrooms in coach were full. So either he was in an explosive situation and, no, you don't understand, I have to go now, or he was just a guy who was too impatient to wait in line behind a couple of other passengers who were queued up to use the restroom in coach.
By the way, team that guy. Sorry.
Really?
If I have to poo... I almost feel like we could emergency land just based off that. But if there's a long line and I have to poo and I go, you guys, you got to help me out here. Can I use the first class bathroom? I'm really in trouble. And they say no. I can't have any sympathy for the staff. Like, just let him poo.
I don't think a guy that stormed the cockpit had to poo.
I made a threat against an aircraft.
I think he just had some serious problems.
Well, possibly, but also, if I've pooed my pants, I want the flight to go down. I'm like, okay. I don't want to answer for this. There's poo all over my pants. We have hours left in this flight. I'm going to storm the cockpit to get this thing
Wouldn't
down.
Would it make more sense, though, to convince the other people in line in coach, hey, it's kind of an emergency. Would you mind? Could I go ahead of you? Wouldn't that make more sense?
Or bring it up, plane to down? A flight attendant and say, listen, I got to go real
are
bad.
Are we sure he didn't do that?
We're not.
Right.
We're not, but... Is the next step storming the cockpit and making a threat?
This is not
a normal incident.
That's not how you handle it.
I guess what I'm saying is, if the problem is that if it's a full bathroom in coach and no one's letting him go in the first class one, I genuinely think that's messed up. But beyond that, obviously he went insane. Okay. But I do think it's messed up to be like, I have a stomach, especially with people like IBS and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to go to the bathroom, and they're like, oh, bourgeoisie, they paid an extra $800. That's still crazy to me.
Okay. All right, so Jensen is team a-hole on that one. Let's see how he feels about this one. A United Airlines flight was diverted to Denver, Colorado. This was a Washington, D.C. to San Francisco United flight because a female passenger was trapped in the bathroom.
Oh.
Could not get out. Went in. Some malfunction with the door. Was stuck in the bathroom.
That's not fun.
The passenger was removed safely from the lavatory after landing, and customers have since continued on to their destination on a new aircraft, was the statement released afterwards. A Twitter user posted video online of maintenance technicians working on the door. We're just working on opening the door at the moment, man. We'll get you out soon. I'm sorry, you're already in Denver. Can't she hang on for like another 45 minutes to get to San Francisco? I know it's unpleasant and it's a little bit scary, but she's not in any danger.
Yeah,
right?
But not to ruin that joke, which was very funny. But in truth, they can't land if she's not like don't they have to like figure it out?
But they had to land.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. Like, they still just did it, is what
I'm
guessing.
Yeah, they landed anyway.
So hold on for 45 more minutes.
Yeah, I guess you're
because,
right.
Because what
I think
else?
It's more than 45 though.
From Denver to San Francisco?
Yeah, I think it's like an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's not my problem, though. It's her problem.
Look. Now, was it first class or coach? Big difference.
Well, that was coach.
Okay. Well,
that's first a class person, that would never happen to them. Yeah.
Probably not. I get that that would be unpleasant to be stuck in the bathroom, not be able to get out. I do get that. But did they make the right call by landing the plane to get her out?
Oh, it's almost 3 hours. to San Francisco. Yeah, they did the right thing.
Okay, then yeah, we should not stick her in a room for 3 hours.
It wasn't like Vegas to Burbank. No. Okay. Then I'd say no big deal. And let's be honest, you're fine with that in that bathroom.
Yeah, I do want to also think about when they started talking about it. Like, 3 hours, man. I don't know. Could she do it? Like, trying to figure out if they should land without her input.
Like, you're like, man, please be quiet. We're trying to figure this out.
They should have just ignored her in the bathroom. Yeah. Just like let her bang the door as loud as she wants and just pretend you don't hear it.
I'm team landing on that one.
Team landing.
Okay.
All right, let's take a look at today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
That sounds great. Let me know how that goes.
Well, I think it's going to go pretty well. We've got a bunch of topics on the table today, including, speaking of flying, one airline, it was Japan Airlines, right? Has unveiled a new way for you to pick your seat on the plane so that you don't have to sit next to an infant. Is this the wave of the future? We'll discuss.
I feel like this is something people have been asking for a very long time.
It is a bad surprise when that person walks down the aisle and plops down next to you with a kid. That's for sure. How many trailers do you want before a movie? This was a controversy that was all over the internet this week, too. I was very surprised how many deep feelings people have on this topic. You snitched on a family member. A new survey is out talking about the percentage of people who would tell law enforcement if somebody in their family had committed a crime. Now, of course, it varies how close you are to the relative and how serious the crime is. But we're going to find out what you think and hear your stories on today.
My cousin Tekashi 69, I'm still bummed out about that. But I had to do something.
He was the runner-up on America's Got Talent, our friend.
Oh, I'm like, Tekashi 69?
No. I would be watching that show more often.
I had to pause for a second. He was America's Got Talent, right? He wasn't Last Comic Standing. Taylor Williamson?
Yes.
America's Got Talent, yes. And he's one of the funniest guys, one of the nicest guys we know. He's going to be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Keep It 100 today because it is Friday.
Friday.
You get to help us pick the music on the program.
Yeah.
Also, we'll add some new songs to the That's My Jam playlist today. We got more tickets for WWE SmackDown's 20th anniversary. We got Joker tickets for you to see it ahead of its opening next weekend. And, of course, the Hella Mega Tour as well. That's a lot of show, you guys. And it all gets started with Allie's.
Yeah, it is. And Allie is here with our first look at what's happening on a Friday.
How do we usually find out about halftime singers at the Super Bowl? And when? Isn't it usually closer to the Super Bowl?
Yes. I think it's a little closer than where we are right now, yeah.
It feels like we find out maybe December? I don't know. Maybe I just haven't cared as much in the past. So I never really knew, but it feels early right now, finding out who's doing it.
I think they have some questions to answer, you know what I mean, from last year. This obviously, they hired Jay-Z. They did a lot of different things to make sure that they don't run into that Maroon 5, no artists from Atlanta in Atlanta issue, if you remember. So I think this is part of their PR.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, we now know who's going to be playing the halftime at the Super Bowl on Sunday, February 2nd, 2020.
Fly, bird, fly!
No. Pop stars Jennifer Lopez and Shakira.
Boo! Oh, wow.
That was strong. They confirmed the news yesterday on social media. J-Lo wrote, "This is happening 2-2-20. She then added she and Shakira are, quote, going to set the world on fire. It doesn't get any bigger than this.
Yeah, it does.
I love you, Poppy.
Look, here's my whole thing. It's a great choice because the Super Bowl is in Miami. And people will tune in to watch it. And I can't argue that it will be a success. But is it Weird Al?
Weird Al is never going to play the
Weird
Super Bowl
Al is,
halftime show.
Is the greatest idea ever.
Rejected!
For an NFL halftime show. And how do they not see that?
I need you to just get over it. It would be
pretty awesome for him to come out in the fat suit.
It would be incredibly awesome to see a medley of Weird Al hits at the Super Bowl halftime show. Who wouldn't want to see that? Huge, I'm telling you.
Where would you like the city to be, or you're just fine anywhere?
Anywhere, yes. I'm giving you guys gold here.
Okay.
It might be best if you just let it go. Okay?
I can never enjoy any Super Bowl halftime show because from the moment it is announced, all I am is consumed with rage from then until the actual day of the game because they once again have overlooked the world's greatest human for the halftime show.
Okay, let's take Weird Al out of the equation. Mm-hmm. You got to be happier with J-Lo and Shakira than you were last year with Maroon 5.
Certainly.
Okay.
Yes, of course.
So let's look at some of the positives.
Look at the bright side. Okay.
Yeah.
I
got you.
I mean, it's a distant second compared to my disappointment over Weird Al not being chosen.
Sure. Understandable.
Maybe next year.
Not at all. Yeah, so there you have it, you guys.
Not mad.
Okay. Good.
I mean, look, they've made far worse choices for the halftime show.
Yes, they have. I am still holding out some hope just because Kevin, we found out, hates counting mm-hmm. in songs, that Gloria Estefan will show up with Miami Sound Machine at some point during this. I feel like they have to. If not just to, like, come in during the changeover between J-Lo into the Shakira set, mm-hmm. like, all of a sudden she's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then Kevin is just losing it at whatever house he's at watching the Super Bowl.
She's done 2 halftime shows already.
Yeah, I know.
Is she a big enough artist that we need her on a third? When yeah. you look at all the people who haven't done it?
It's Miami Sound Machine.
Yeah, that is a good way to promise yourself a Super Bowl performance. Just right. put a city in your name.
Absolutely.
Right.
And then you'll play when it gets the Super Bowl.
That's right. Phantom Planet. Can't wait for the year after.
Because it's in a different planet?
No, isn't it here in L.A.? They have a song, California.
Oh, I figured,
it was a journey.
I'd figure Red Hot Chili Peppers would get it before.
Oh no!
Considering California's in every song they've ever written.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, that was a journey, and I'm sorry I took you all on it, you guys. Hey, coming up, I'm gonna tell you about a guy that had such a huge dong that people thought he was shoplifting.
What a tease.
Yeah. I asked you not to tell that story, Allie.
Bean, we have to talk about it.
I asked you to please. That was, I told you that privately.
You should be proud.
Oh my God, is it really that big?
All right. We are going to talk about that next. But coming up right now, some birthdays. Gwyneth Paltrow, Meatloaf, Lil Wayne, Avril Lavigne, and associate producer Christine.
Right. Happy birthday, Christine.
Happy birthday.
And that's
1 week from tonight, by the way, very difficult to know exactly which one of those is the last one. 1 week from tonight, you will want to be at Staples Center for WWE SmackDown's 20th anniversary with every major superstar from Raw and SmackDown Live. These have been very...
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that came out of nowhere.
Whoa!
Usually
she's allergic
lead
to
up.
Wrestling,
Again,
I knew it.
Usually there's a lead up. This has now happened twice. I'm so...
That was shocking, Allie.
It happened out of my nose hole.
When I looked over, she actually repelled backwards against the back of her chair. It was a violent sneeze.
That came out of nowhere.
Were you
apologies?
Were you putting pepper on a salad at the time?
I was peppering my salad, which I am want to do at 6:08 in the morning.
I hope that's not a euphemism. Oh. Anyway, we got those tickets for you coming up later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, a controversy. Hey, do we have David King of Mexico? Because I think he's the outlier in this study.
Yes, sir.
A controversy on the internet this week after a new Hollywood Reporter article interviewed Americans on how many trailers they would like to see in front of the movies, mm-hmm. when they go to the movies. And I know that there are some people who are like, just get to the movie already. I don't want to be here all day. And it does seem like in some theater chains, it's pretty interminable how long you have to wait to get to the film. Because it's not just the movie trailers, it's also the ads, it's also the let's all go to the lobby, it's also the Coke commercials.
What year is it? The newsreels talking about the Hindenburg.
I love watching the talkies.
The poor Lindenberg baby, gotta hear all about him.
Look, they do have a modern version of the old let's all go to the lobby where they promote their snack bar, okay? Yes. I'm saying that's part of the pre-show entertainment, as they say. So you can be sitting there, and by the way, this has happened to me before.
The organist, he's got to play.
Tell me if this has happened to you before. Have you ever gone to the film and have waited so long for all of the pre-show entertainment that you forgot what movie you were there to see?
Yes.
That has happened to me.
But at the AMC one, the one where it's like a full television show before the movie mm-hmm. airs, where it's like they'll show a Coke commercial that was made by a college student, and then they'll end up showing some sort of preview, and then an ad for Fortnite. Like that then I'm like, am I watching TV?
I'm usually just so tired from the trivia before that I get.
Well, you're working so hard on it.
I'm working so hard. I'm yelling out my answers.
Holding up signs.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Well, here's the results of the survey. Nearly 6 in 10 Americans, 59%, say 1 to 3 trailers is the ideal number.
Perfect.
Yep.
Perfect.
Really?
That's the sweet spot.
Yep. 1 to 3 seems like a that's cheating as far as I'm concerned.
Three. You want more?
Three is ideal. One would be a little weird.
I feel ripped off if I only get 3 trailers.
You're kidding.
Why? No.
You can watch them online. They're just commercials. They're not like exclusive to the theater.
No, I get that. But it's nice to see, to get a feel for, and oftentimes it'll be the first time I've heard of or seen anything from a film that I didn't even know about. And it's exciting to see trailers. And by the way, each one is how long? Under 2 minutes usually.
Yeah, I think they now... legally based on the has to be under 2 minutes.
So what's your ideal number? If Jensen and I say 3 is good, Dave, what's yours?
Look, I am different because I love movie trailers. So I could go for 6 to 8.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Too many.
But here's a caveat for me in trailers, because I understand that when trailers happen, it's usually about 20 to 30 minutes of trailers. I think movie theaters should post the actual time of the movie starts. So if they say that the movie begins at 8:10, the movie should start at 8:10. Start the trailers at 7:50.
But then for people that love the trailers, they're constantly watching people moving in front of them while they're trying to watch a trailer.
And a majority of people like 1 to 3. I think, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone goes, oh, 1 to 3 trailers, I don't know how I got through it. I think it's past 3 if your theater is showing more than 3, put them in that weird trivia opening, right? I mean, I would assume, but Bean, what's your number?
I think I'm with Dave. I mean, honestly, I don't think you can have enough trailers.
I would like to see.
All right, this is just off the top of my head. 35 to 50 is how many trailers I'm looking for.
Again, this is a man that doesn't go to movies.
Doesn't go to the movies, right? Yeah. Only 21% of respondents are in favor of watching 4 to 6 trailers. That's just 4 to 6, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The number drops dramatically to just 2% when asked about watching 7 to 9 trailers. This is interesting. Among the poll's other findings, 5% would rather see no movie trailers at all, and 1% would be in favor of watching more than a dozen. So that's the opposite ends.
That person is a monster.
I want to meet that person.
Like, doesn't anyone ever check out that channel on DirecTV that's just all trailers?
Definitely no.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
Never thought of that.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing better than like, sitting down ready for like, say, Avengers, and then you see, like, the Lucasfilm, and it's the first time that you're seeing the Star Wars trailer, and then it gets released.
Well, you don't have the internet then, because that's the purpose of the internet, is to see new Star Wars trailers.
No, what I'm saying is, like, they show it before they release it to... Sometimes they do, at least. Release it to the net.
Rarely nowadays.
Yeah, but sometimes it's an event that leads you and draws into that movie, and it sounds so good. Like, the Dunkirk trailer has one of the best trailers, and I enjoyed every single time I saw it, and I would get there early to make sure I didn't miss it.
Jensen and Allie, do you guys intentionally come in late so that you can miss some of that nonsense before the film?
I mean, have you met me? I'm 30 minutes early for everything.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in there just waiting.
I'd rather relax for a second as well. But I think the other problem, I mean, and this is a whole nother topic, but most of these trailers give away too much info anyway. I think some of the best movies I've ever seen, I went in with no knowledge. And that's better for me, so I miss them totally.
All right, let's take one call. I think that's all we're going to have time for in this segment. Interesting range of opinions here. Francisco in L.A. wants to weigh in as well. Francisco, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling the Kevin Amin Show. What's up, my friend?
What's up, guys? I have an interesting take on trailers. I don't like watching trailers. They only give me a chance to be late to see the actual movie. So I know I have at least a 15-minute range,
He's not
wrong. Late to see a movie.
If only there were a way to just leave earlier and get there on time.
Nah, no way. No way.
No, that's just not in LA. That's not happening.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. Thank you, Green Day. We needed you, we missed you, and you're back. Father of All, that is the title track from the forthcoming album from Green Day. Don't forget, on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, you can see the band, along with Weezer, Fall Out Boy, and Interrupters at Dodger Stadium next summer. We're going to give you a chance to win some tickets to the Hella Mega Tour. Tickets are on sale now, by the way, if you want to buy them. But I'd stick around and try to win them instead. All right, Allie, you got some good news for us if we got some flights in our future.
I mean, it's good news for some. Others are questioning why this is happening. But There's a whole list of pet peeves with flying nowadays. Mm-hmm. I mean, the seats are smaller. It seems everybody's more crammed in there. Everything seems to be overbooked. Everything seems to be late. But one airline wants to make it easier for you if you don't want to be sitting on the plane just with your beehole puckered, watching that mom with a baby on her hip walking down the aisle, maybe a two-year-old right behind her. Oh, God, don't let him sit by me. Don't let him sit by me. Because they are doing something where passengers traveling with children between 8 days and 2 years old who select their seats on the website of Japan Airlines, they will have a child icon displayed on the seat location screen. So that's going to let other passengers know that a child might be sitting next to them if they choose the seat next to them or in front of them, behind them, that type of thing.
What that means is nobody is going to want to fly. They're going to take another flight rather than have to sit in that row. And that lady and her child are going to be the only ones in that section.
Which is why I'm now going to just put a child on all my seats.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Just to have nobody near me.
Yeah, when they bother you, just go, no, I meant I'm super immature.
I'm a baby.
I'm a real baby.
Absolute baby. But it got me thinking, because I've said before, what about just a whole flights where it's just
babies?
Kids? Yeah.
Oh, I'd love baby flights.
I mean, that would be amazing.
But I don't think there are enough people traveling from destination A to destination B at the same time who all have kids under two.
Well, that's because they have to go on one specific flight. It's once a day.
Oh, I see.
Force them all into one
flight. I see. By the way, a couple of questions here. Mm-hmm. Can you fly with a baby who's 8 days old? I thought you weren't allowed to fly with kids that young.
I think you can.
I don't think you should that young.
But just so
they don't
there,
have like, their shots yet or anything.
True, but I mean there are cases where babies have to fly that young, right?
Like sure, a medical situation. Sure.
So I don't think it's like impossible mm-hmm. to happen. And okay. I think that if someone were to have their baby in the U.S. and then 8 days later travel to Japan, that doesn't seem that great. I mean, it's not ideal for the people around.
Right.
But I mean, Danielle and I recently, when we went to Thailand, we spent a bunch of money. I mean, I've never even purchased that kind of first class ticket. I really sprung for that. Mm-hmm. And then to watch a baby sit in our section in mm-hmm. first class was like crazy.
Yeah, crushing.
Crushing, but it ended up being fine. But it still was, it's still like, oh, is this going to be terrible? And I don't think we would have not went on the flight had mm-hmm. we known, but it is kind of a bummer.
I will say, just so people don't misunderstand, we do understand. I think I speak for the room when we say we're not shaming the parents who have to fly with their kids.
No.
And we understand that you're going to do probably the best you can to make it as comfortable for other passengers as possible. But sometimes kids, you know, you do everything you can. And if you're trying, I think most people will give you the benefit of the doubt.
I think the majority of parents flying with kids are trying everything.
Oh, yeah.
To, and you give them a look like, we get it. Everything's going to be fine.
I feel worse for them than I do myself.
100%. Like there's a certain camaraderie when I see a mom, even though I'm not a mom, but a mom come down and she just looks exhausted. I don't mind if a baby sit next to me because I like babies and I want to hold your baby. Let me hold your baby.
I think they have to put up an icon for you now.
They probably should. But
stay away from the crazy lady with the empty, barren vagina.
You know what I would...
It's the uterus, I know. I got
my
it.
Vagina is... it's filled.
But
right.
I think we figured out the icon.
Yes. I will say this, though. Instead of the child icon displayed, I would like a foot displayed.
Thank you.
I want to know where the passenger who's immediately about to take off their shoes and their socks, where is that asshole sitting? I don't want to sit by them. Put a tuna fish icon. I want the tuna fish icon. I want to know where the asshole that's bringing tuna fish onto a plane is sitting. It's we have so many more problems.
Any flight before noon, I also want a Panda Express icon.
Yeah.
Anyone who's eating breakfast from the Panda Express mm-hmm. in the airport, I don't want to sit near you. And not even because of smell. I just think you're disgusting.
Because why are you going to Panda Express?
What are you doing so early?
I will say that the first thing I thought when I saw this is, does this open up the door to exactly what you're saying, which is now we are just slicing and dicing every person that's on that plane to make sure that you don't have a talker, to make sure that you don't mm-hmm. have a snorer, to make sure you don't have a guy who plays a Game Boy without headphones and you have to listen to doom, 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 doom. Mm-hmm. For the whole flight, because you run into all of those people.
Oh, for sure.
And if people could just kind of mix and match the like personalities, like put the two talkers together. If you looked on the grid there when you were picking your seat and you saw a talker, you're like, oh, I love having some conversation on a plane. Boom. You sit next to that person. Everybody's happy.
I'd also like to see tank top.
Like a tank top icon?
You want to sit by the tank top?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
No, it is the opposite.
I love a tank top.
I think we are very close to your underarm hair at that point because we're in a very confined space. I think
tank top icon.
I don't like it. It's too close to your hairs.
Okay.
And so those are things I could also add.
I feel like this is just the beginning of a new wonderful world of traveling in our future, you guys.
And
Good job.
I think what we're saying here is we'll totally take the baby.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we'll take the baby over tank tops.
Okay. You guys, let's sell for the Joker game.
Let's do that.
Nice. Allie did it for me. I was waiting.
We suck.
Thank you, Allie.
We're new.
I would have rather had Bugs do it.
We're new.
He's so sweet about it. Bugs would do it anyway.
Saw it. Yeah. Like, okay.
Here's the.
Hold on. He's gonna do it.
Here we go. And now we sell for the game.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, I said we were doing the SmackDown game. Are we not? Are we actually doing the Joker game?
Yeah, we're doing the Joker game.
Okay, but... I screwed everything up. Then.
Yes.
Here's the deal, you guys. Access for two into the K-Rock Advance screening of Joker, one of the most anticipated films of 2019 at the AMC Century City on October 1st. The movie is in theaters everywhere, starring Joaquin Phoenix on the 4th. We are looking for you if you are dying, as we are, to see Joker. Any tip for this one? I guess just... enjoy.
Know what people's laughs sound like. That's all.
Okay.
That's a great
way to give it away.
I couldn't think of anything else. Everyone's staring at me.
1-800-520
for the game. Let's sell 1067
if you want to play the game for Joker tickets.
Yeah. There you go. ASMR. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Kevin Beach.
Okay, so creepy.
Is it creepy?
You don't, stop, yeah.
But you don't actually get the feeling, do you?
No, I get a creeped out feeling. Is that similar to...
You don't get a tingle in your parts?
No.
Not at all?
In my later age, I have developed it, so that was different
really?
For me. Yeah, it was different.
Oh, interesting.
I learned it here on the show when we played one, and I was like, oh, God.
Do you need me to start calling you at night to tuck you in?
No, Bean. I don't need that.
It's actually the opposite of what all of us need.
Yeah. Jensen, it's time for you to go to bed. Just want to make sure you have a good night, man.
That's my nightmare.
All right. It's Joker time, you guys. You get to see it days ahead of an opening in theaters everywhere next Friday. Just give Joaquin Phoenix the Oscar already, right?
Yeah, it would seem
this
so.
Looks like one of the most intense performances ever. We want you to be there. Actually, great time to call in because we have 5 winners this time around. So let's see how you do. The game is called Famous Laughs.
Can you name this famous laugh? I think you can. Because this famous laugh is known throughout the land.
Name the famous laughs. It's easy as 1, 2, 3.
If you win, you'll get tickets to the Joker movie.
All right. Thank you, Omar. Okay, thank you. Gotcha.
Got it.
Understood. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. The game.
Okay.
The game.
Oh my!
What?
The game is as simple as it sounds. We're going to be playing you a famous laugh. All you have to do is identify the person who's doing the laughing.
Yeah.
If you're right, you win tickets. No drawing this time around. You're actually going to see Joker. Jose is in Victorville right now. Oh, Jose, have you been to the Cracker Barrel?
Sure have. It's nice and empty now, Bean. You can go. There's no way.
I gotta go, dude. Before I leave. I'm so excited. All right. Famous laugh. We'll play it for you. And I think we're only playing it once, right, Muggs?
Is that correct.
Okay, we only can play it for you one time, so listen very closely, then identify who's laughing. Yes.
That would be Woody Woodpecker.
All right, sounds
how
like he has an assist.
How many
people are playing?
That sounds like a group effort.
It's my son is going to go with me if we win.
Oh, okay.
Well, guess what?
Made that cute.
There you go.
You're going.
Nice.
Yeah.
Go with it. I think this movie's very appropriate for a 6-year-old, too, so I think you'll have a good time. All right, let's go to Leo. He's in Pasadena. Hey, Leo, good morning. Thank you for listening to the Kevin Bean Show.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
All right, here's your famous laugh.
Beavis and Butthead.
Sure is.
Yeah.
Yep. Sure is.
Yeah.
All right, 2 for 2. Way to go.
The famous laugh.
Donna Ray, Rancho Cucamonga, up next on K-Rock. Hello, my dear. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. I'm so excited to play, so let's make it easy.
All right, here we go.
Okay. That would be Pee Wee Herman.
All right.
Indeed. Wow.
You guys really know your laughs.
Three for three.
How about La Habra, you guys? Why don't we say good morning to Junior?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, Junior.
Junior, three for three so far. Let's keep it going. Here's yours.
No pressure, no pressure. Three for four isn't bad.
Oh, Junior.
The saddest, most defeated voice.
Oh, sorry, so man. It was the great Eddie Murphy. That was Eddie Murphy's famous laugh. Thanks for playing, though, anyway. I feel bad.
Me too.
Let's go to Orange. Say hi to John. Hey, John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
It says here on the screen that you work in banging. Is that right?
It says banking.
Banking. Oh, banking. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, banking. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Not quite as interesting. Yeah. All right. Listen up. Name this famous. Name this famous laugh, please.
Still funny.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, John.
What do you think?
Yeah.
I'll give you a hint. One of the great moments in live TV.
Kanye West.
No. That was Anderson Cooper. Anderson Cooper laughing on CNN. Very funny. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Enjoy your banging. Let's go to Derek HB up next. Hey, Derek.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Well, we're giving away tickets to see Joker ahead of it opening next Friday. Listen up. Here's your laugh. Just name it.
Derek.
Still there?
Yes, I am.
You're right.
And that famous laugh is?
You Shazamming it.
What do you got, sir?
Nope.
Nothing. Okay.
Oh, man.
That was the very famous Krusty the Clown. Krusty the Clown is what we were looking for.
We were three, on fire. Three, killing
it. Fire. I don't know what happened here. All right. Well, let's hope for Joanna then. Los Angeles up next. Hey, Joanna.
Good morning, party people.
Morning.
Good luck. Let's get back on track. Who's this famous laugher?
Oh, man. No idea.
No.
Our listeners hate animation, you guys. That's what we've just learned. That's Peter Griffin from Family Guy.
Yeah.
Thank you, though. Appreciate it.
Got to turn this around.
I'm getting nervous now. Andrew's in Downey. He's up next. Andrew, come on, man. We're counting on you here, all right?
All right.
All right. Joker tickets. Who's this famous laugher?
I was going to say Seth Rogen,
But you did say Seth Rogen.
Yes, that's congratulations. That was close.
Wow.
We had to snatch a victory out of the jaws of defeat there, didn't we? All right, one more contestant. Let's make it Torrance's Kyle up next on K-Rock. All right, Kyle, we got one pair left. We want you to have them. Are you ready?
What's going on, party people? I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
Oh, my God. I've known every laugh but this one.
That's weird.
I know. It is a weird laugh. I want to say Count Chocula.
Yeah. Can we give him the tickets for that answer?
It's a great answer, but unfortunately, it was our own K-Rock's beer mug. Yeah, that was beer mug doing the laughing there.
You want to try to do one more, Bean? I have one on deck.
Okay. All right, the final contestant here. This is going to be Jonas. He's in Riverside. All right, Jonas, we got one pair left. They got your name on them. If you can name this famous laugher.
Here we go, Jonas. Good luck.
Wow, I have no idea.
I don't know, Jonas.
I'm happy we pushed one more there.
Thanks, Bugs.
That was on me.
That was the International Man of Mystery, Doko. We were running out of actual celebrities there.
All right, let's do another one.
Let's not. Thanks to everybody for playing. Don't forget, the Joker's in theaters starring Joaquin Phoenix next Friday. This has been Famous Laughs.
Name the famous laughs.
Jensen, if your son Adler robbed a liquor store, would you turn him in?
Right now, as a baby? Yeah, as a baby, it's just impressive. Just like you're barely keeping your head up and you robbed a liquor store? Yeah, man. Let's celebrate by putting you in jail.
Should you snitch? Would you snitch on a family member? That is a topic coming up next hour on the Kevin DeBean Show. Our friend Taylor Williamson on the program later on today, and we give you a chance to pick the music with Keep It 100. That's all coming up on K-Rock. First, though, Allie, What's happening on this Friday?
It's Friday. First of all, there's going to be a 10-hour globally broadcast multi-location concert going down on September 26th of 2020. It's a year-long initiative titled Global Goal Live, The Possible Dream. It's going to aim at ending extreme poverty and tackling climate change.
Be a terrible charity to extend it.
We want to extend poverty and just really ramp up this climate change thing. Yeah, that's not what it is at all. But it's kind of in the whole vein of like Live Aid type of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be a 10-hour show. It's going to span five continents. You're already out.
My nightmare.
You're already out. But it's spanning five continents, taking place in New York, Nigeria, other countries to be announced in Latin America, Europe, and Asia. Let's go through some of the acts so far.
Okay.
They have.
And this is a year out, and these are acts that are already committed.
Yes. Billie Eilish, Usher, Lizzo, Coldplay, Shawn Mendes, Miley Cyrus, Alicia Keys, Janelle Monáe, Metallica, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Ozzy Osbourne. That's questionable. Cyndi Lauper.
Are you saying he won't make it either?
No, I'm saying like he will probably like screw up his thumb.
Got it.
And he can't go. Cyndi Lauper, Eddie Vedder, Muse. Are you kidding me? Just so far. Some of the confirmed co-hosts, Hugh Jackman, Idris Elba, Katie Holmes, Rachel Brosnahan, Trevor Noah. You guys, I mean, they're a year out, and they've already got these names.
Let's, you mentioned Live Aid, and of course it sounds like that, but wasn't there a Live 8 also back in the 2000s that was very, very similar to this? Do you remember a big, like, superstar multi-act show called Live Aid? Because the thing I remember about it is because Pink Floyd got back together for it.
I don't remember it, that's for sure. So
Live Aid.
I don't think it saved any poverty or climate change, so
right,
I'm out.
Hold on, I'm going to look into this. Because
also, a 10-hour show, guys.
That's great. That's fantastic. Because
no,
there's going to be so many acts you're going to want to tune in and watch.
It's not good.
Okay, here we go. Live Aid. U2, Paul McCartney, Pink Floyd, Elton John, Madonna, Coldplay, Robbie Williams. The list goes on and on and on.
Sounds great.
Sounds very similar to what you guys are talking about. And we've apparently already forgotten it?
Yes.
Stevie Wonder, Maroon 5, Matchbox 20. Okay, now we're losing it. But,
right. Did Matchbox 20, were they working the concessions? What were they?
I think they were performing.
Yeah.
I think these events are great because they do put the focus on a cause that needs a lot of help. And I'm sure this will be a success. I love it. Do they say what cities yet? Have they announced that?
Well, I named a bunch of the five continents.
But what American city? I'm just wondering if they've announced that yet.
Well, taking place in New York, so I assume New York City.
Okay.
Or maybe Albany.
Maybe Staten Island.
You never know.
The world is coming to Buffalo.
Yeah. Wow. I'm sure other places in America will be named at a later date.
Huge news, you guys.
Yeah, it's pretty big news, you guys.
I'll go for all 10 hours. Make myself sick.
How long do you think you'd last for that?
45 minutes. No, honestly, because I can do an hour. I could do an hour of music, then go eat for a while. Like, festivals aren't terrible for me because I can break it up.
And you know you're watching this on TV, right? You're not at this event.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about from my couch.
Okay.
I'm saying I can watch it for an hour, then I can get up, go eat.
Then you're too exhausted.
Take care of Adler, right, do a couple things, and then come back and watch 30 minutes, and then check my phone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I was at Live Aid, you guys.
Were you really?
Wow. In the stadium in Philadelphia. Remember, it was in Philadelphia, and it was at Wembley. Mm-hmm. And I was there for the whole day to see the show.
What do you remember? What were your standouts?
I don't remember a lot of details, but I mean, it was probably Bruce Springsteen. Probably would have been the highlight for me at that time. But it was just, it was just a great event. You felt like, and we were wrong, but you felt like it was a once in a lifetime event.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? But there have been a bunch of them since then. Kind of like, Woodstock. They've done a bunch of Woodstock since then. But I mean, it was just kind of cool to be there. I mean, it was, it was the biggest artists of the time all on one show when it wasn't as common as it is now to have, now we live in a world with festivals. Yeah. But it was fun to be there. July 13th, 1985. I remember it well.
Wow. Was Willie Nelson there?
I don't think so.
Oh, that was Farm Aid.
Yeah.
I get my AIDS
farm
mixed
aid.
Up.
Yeah, different thing.
Yeah, you don't want to get your AIDS mixed up.
You don't. Mm-hmm. You don't. Speaking of huge news, Kevin Feige developing a new movie for Disney. That's kind of a big deal, you guys.
It is.
Lucasfilm's Kathleen Kennedy said they're pursuing a new era in Star Wars storytelling, and knowing what a diehard fan Kevin is, it made sense for these two extraordinary producers to work on a Star Wars film together.
Now, I was confused by this because he's Mr. Marvel.
Sure.
And I would have... But I mean, I guess
it's all the same pot, baby.
It's all the same company now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So, sure is.
Yeah, so Marvel and Star Wars are all in bed together.
I realized from this story because I read a bunch of stories on it. He wears his hat all the time.
All the time. What's under the hat?
Is there a swastika under there? Like, what is he hiding?
Oh, I don't think a swastika.
What is the man hiding?
I was thinking maybe just losing his hair.
Yeah, hairline seems more likely.
Well, I'm saying wearing a suit, right? Like, you're wearing a suit and you're wearing a hat on the red carpet. Like, that's weird as hell.
Yeah. Some people are just very insecure about those things. However, we don't know if that's what it is. What if he took off his hat and we were like... That's an amazing amount of hair. But
maybe.
He's just like, I don't like it. I love hats.
Or there's just like a little creature, like a Groot, under his hat. Like he takes off a hat and it's like,
that
I'm
seems
Groot.
Also less likely.
Possible.
But Groot might be in the next Star Wars movie.
Oh, yeah.
He could do whatever he wants, right?
Anything he wants.
Yeah, what's going to happen now with that crossover?
Gosh,
stuff?
I love movies.
And aren't there, Allie, aren't there multiple Star Wars things going on at the same time in terms of different movies? Like Rian Johnson has his movies over there, and the Deadpool guys have their movies over there, and now Kevin Feige has his over there. There's going to be so many Star Wars movies, right?
Yeah, and not only that, Rise of Skywalker is coming...
Still coming out, right.
In December.
Yeah.
And then we've got Mandalorian coming out next month. Next month?
So many louds.
Yeah,
almost a little longer, yeah.
I mean, it's just so much, and I can't wait. I'm excited for all of it, you guys.
Me too.
I'm excited about the Scorsese movie.
We're going to talk about The Irishman coming up.
Okay.
For sure.
Good.
As well as talk about that guy with a huge dong.
Yeah, we still have that.
That was,
right here, Allie.
Again,
for God's sakes, I can hear you.
Okay. Gwyneth Paltrow, happy birthday. Meatloaf, Lil Wayne, Avril Lavigne, and our own associate producer, Christine. She's not going to eat meatloaf later. She doesn't eat meat. Don't know if she'll use any of Gwyneth Paltrow's...
Goop products?
Goop products. Mm-hmm. Might have some scissorp, right? Mm. And she's loves some skater boys. So it all ties in together.
Yep.
We're going to add some new music to your weekend playlist coming up later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show as Allie presents That's My Jam, which we do for you every Friday at around 7:55. So that is still coming up. Guys, I think we owe our listeners an apology.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Oh, well, we always owe our listeners.
I was going to say.
Has there ever been a day when we don't?
I just thought, yeah, we do. Okay, moving on.
We missed one of my favorite days of the year earlier this week. Wednesday was National One-Hit Wonder Day. And in the past, we have commemorated it some years by doing a playlist throughout the morning of all one-hit wonders.
Mm-hmm.
And we blew it. I don't know. We didn't have it on the coming-up schedule or whatever, but we completely missed it. It flew by. And I'm sad about that. And then I saw this article from Entertainment Weekly about National One-Hit Wonder Day. They put together a playlist of what they say are 25 of the catchiest and most essential one-hit wonder songs of all time, which I just think is fun.
Okay.
Yeah,
sounds like
fun.
So I thought it might be fun to play a little game between you guys. 90% of these songs are K-Rock songs that are on this playlist, okay? There are a few that aren't, but I think there'll be songs that you will know and love. I thought we might play a game where I will play the opening, like 3, 4, 5 seconds of the song, and then each of you, you know, will go in order, back and forth. You'll get a chance to name the song by title and artist, and if you're right, you get a point. And if you don't know it and your competitor does, they get a point.
Okay.
All right.
Think that'll be fun?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. I love music games. I really do. All right. So, Allie, we'll start with you. This is the first 4 seconds of a one-hit wonder that's among the catchiest of all time, according to Entertainment Weekly.
What If God Was One of Us?
Nice.
By whom? By whom?
The Chick.
I need title and artist for the point. I'm sorry.
She played with my friend Steve in a band called Trigger Hippie. She's got curly hair. Don't make me say artists, too. Yeah. They're a one-hit wonder. They're lucky I know their song.
Oh,
I'm sorry. We're out of time. Jensen for the steal.
I don't think it's her, but for some reason, Meredith Brooks is coming to mind.
No, I'm sorry. She was the bitch girl.
Yeah.
This particular song was by Joan Osborne.
Joan Osborne.
All right.
She was in a band called Trigger Hippie as well.
No point there? All right,
no,
Jensen?
There's a point. That's not fair. It shouldn't be artist and title.
It is artist and title. That's how the game is
all
played.
All right, here we go.
All right, Jensen, here's yours.
Oh. Gautier.
Okay.
Oh, what is the name of that song?
Gautier.
No, it's I've lost it.
Allie for the steal.
Honestly, I knew it was Gautier. I can't think of the name of that song.
Okay. Yeah. Is it Somebody I Used to Know? Is that
somebody
the title?
I used to know.
That is what we were looking for.
So in One Hit Wonderland, I just have to remember the hook. That's basically,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. 0-0. All right. Allie, here we go. One Hit Wonder. Again, as I said, most of these are K-Rock songs. Some, including this one, are not.
You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. You
it
gotta
is
be
called
strong,
You Gotta Be.
You
are correct.
Just know the word, but then here comes the hard part.
Who's it by, please?
She is a beautiful African-American woman.
Indeed.
With one name.
Yes, yes. Oh, and it is. Like, how do you guys think it's going
like
so far?
Yvette or Michelle. Michelle? No.
Jensen for the steal.
I got so excited. It's
Jensen for the steal.
All right. I would have said Michelle Indicello, which it's not.
No, it's not.
No.
No, I'm getting them all messed up. No, pass.
Yeah, we already know
this
song.
That part.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
is
you gotta be
Desiree.
Desiree.
Desiree. D-E-S apostrophe R-E-E.
I mean,
R-E-E.
We've gotten all of these, just not
they're
the
all
thing.
Very, they're all very memorable.
All right. These are fun one-hit wonders, though. I mean, I like all of these songs so far.
This game.
All right. Jensen, you're up, right?
Yes.
Here we go.
Guys, I'm so much worse at this game than I ever would have guessed.
No guess. All right. Allie, you might remember it as a huge K-Rock song.
Yeah, I remember
it. You play it again? Let her play it. She can hear it again.
I remember it,
oh,
but
do.
I don't remember. It's a band, a bunch of guys.
I know it's a guy band.
Don't remember how it went. And I've never known a girl like you.
That is Edwin Collins. Edwin Collins was his name.
Do you know who doesn't remember Edward Collins? Edward Collins. There's no way. That's a hard one.
That was a great song, a big, big hit here on K-Rock. We even had Edwin Collins as a guest on the Kevin and Bean Show. Okay, still 0-0, you guys,
well,
which
it's
I
not.
Wasn't expecting.
We're counting halves.
All right, Allie, you are up. Is that correct?
Sure.
Here we go. Good luck.
Closing Time?
Yes.
By the band that does Closing Time.
It is, in fact, by the band that does Closing Time. You are correct.
Oh, God. The Closing Time. It's that dude. I know the song.
All right. Jensen for the steal.
I honestly don't know why. This is a band I have on my iPhone right now.
Okay.
And I just keep thinking New Radicals, which it 100% is not.
It is definitely not. You are correct.
Obviously, it's a different one hit wonder.
You're absolutely correct. It is not. It is Semisonic.
Golly.
Semisonic. Okay. I feel it's going great.
Greg Alexander is the name of the singer, which.
For New Radicals, who we've also had on the show, by the way.
Here's the thing. Just throwing those things out. Lyrics to all these songs, couldn't tell you who sings them.
Okay,
I think you've
proven that. I don't even think you need to made that reference.
Yeah.
All right.
This is a good
one.
Game.
Yeah, we're doing great.
This is one that you guys are going to fight to answer because you're both going to know it.
No,
I am very convinced.
Don't say that.
Is it whose turn is
Jensen.
It? Allie?
Jensen.
It's Jensen's turn.
Yes.
Here we go.
Oh, I got it. Diggable Planets: Rebirth of Cool.
Is it Diggable Planets: Rebirth of Cool?
Cool like that.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's not Rebirth of Slick?
No.
It is Rebirth of Slick, actually, is what it is.
But
yeah,
Bill!
Yeah, Bill!
Hold on. Is there a second? Is there a second title? With
in parentheses, after Rebirth of Slick, it says Cool
that
Like
one,
That. Gotta take it back. Gotta take it back.
So she stole it based off that word.
Yes!
All right,
yep.
Fair enough.
No points, you guys.
No, excuse me?
She would have got the title.
I got it.
Okay, Ali gets a point, you guys.
I'm cool like that. I'm black like that.
Would you have gotten the artist?
Yes. Oh, 100%.
I just saw them in concert a year ago.
Yes. All right. So Ali's
a winner. And by the way, not a one-hit wonder.
Technically, yeah, as far as like charting, but not for us.
Yeah, and by the way, that's the case with some of these K-Rock songs. They, mm-hmm. you know, like Jimmy Eat World is on this list, who has like 10 songs on K-Rock, but really only one hit in America, you know, with the middle. All right, so Ali got the point there.
Yep. And it's her point. So and it's her turn.
And it's your turn as well?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, here we do. We're talking about the catchiest one-hit wonders of all time. Let's see how you do with this one.
Oh. That sounds like Lola, or whatever that one was.
Suzanne Vega?
No,
Lola by the Kinks.
Yeah. Is it Lola by the Kinks?
It is. I'm sorry, it's not.
No?
It's another huge K-Rock song that we have played in the last couple of months on our show.
Are we allowed to play it again?
No. Let's make it fair for
then
everybody.
I don't know it.
You don't know it either. Mm-hmm. Okay. How about this? Does this remind you of...
What's going on?
Four Non-Blondes?
Yeah. Four Non-Blondes is correct. Yes.
But honestly, I clearly would have known something from the hook. But that part, I did not ring a bell.
No, it's
all
not
right,
like
we only have time for
Kinks.
A couple more guys. Unfortunately, as much fun as this is,
oh yeah,
and it's a high-scoring affair.
How do matter people in their cars?
This is a hockey game more than
a lot of yelling.
Football, yeah.
Whose turn, please?
Jensen.
Jensen,
here we go.
Jesse's Girl. Mm-mm. What is this?
Well, that's what I'm asking you, actually.
No, I'm asking you. I'm turning the game around. I don't know that one.
All right.
I thought it was Jesse's Girl.
Allie for the steal.
Honestly, that sounded a bit like the Cars.
It did. That one, boom, did sound like the Cars.
Can I tell them, Bean, if Allie doesn't get it?
Why do you have to butt in here, Bear? We're adults are playing, all right? You're at the kids' table. Here's what it is.
Oh, Mom.
See, I have a block on the song.
Fountains of Wayne?
Yes, yep. Fountains of Wayne. Yeah. Stacey's mom has got it going on.
Here's the
Omar
thing.
Ruined that for
surprisingly,
me.
Surprisingly, I the trigger of hearing the song did not give me anything. But then when I'm like, oh, that's Fountains of Wayne. I know those, but boy, this game really backfired on us.
All right, I'm just going to do one more, guys. Whose turn, please?
Allie,
you've already won the game because you got one, and I think you're about to get two.
All you ladies pop your like this. Shake your body, don't stop, don't miss.
No idea.
Really?
No.
I am very surprised by that. Sounds like a jamming song for you. Right. Jensen, you'll know that one.
Pop that.
Uh-huh.
It's a one name. It's a girl. Kia. K-H-I-A.
That is correct. Yes. What's the song called?
Oh, my back. My neck, my back.
That is correct.
Yes, there it is. My neck, my back. Wow. Lick my...
My deck, my back, my Kia.
That's dirty.
How I got Kia is very
it's unbelievable. But we end with a tie game, which means we do it again tomorrow, right? Yep. Our friend Taylor Williamson, one of the funniest comics working today, is in town doing some shows this weekend and will join us here on the Kevin Bean Show coming up just after 8 o'clock. All right, here's the study, you guys. I am very disturbed by this. Very disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
Over 2,800 people surveyed. And here's the conclusion. People are willing to bench their sense of right and wrong when it comes to their own family, even if it means breaking the law. A new study from the University of Michigan found that when a member of a family behaves abhorrently, people are often inclined to protect them. Even if it is a severe crime, like theft or blackmail or groping, they say that in most cases, people will not turn them in to the police. So in other words, your kid comes home and says, I just did a hit and run. And you go, well, I'm glad you got away. I mean, essentially, that's what we're talking about here, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to if you had witnessed it and it was a stranger, you'd be the first person to call the police and help them find that person because they're an evil, bad person who deserved to be disciplined.
So you're saying you're surprised by this moral dilemma?
Yes. It shouldn't be a moral dilemma.
It's the most obvious moral dilemma. It's one that's the basis of numerous films and TV shows. I think 100% it would be very difficult for me to turn in my wife, for anything she did illegally. I couldn't do it. I mean, if she murdered someone... Yes, I probably would. I know I would.
You would
have
help
a problem.
Her get a fake passport and get her to Mexico.
I would cut up the body with her and put it in the backyard. But yeah, no, I'm saying I get that there are exceptions. But we are talking about, some smaller crimes in this survey as well.
Well, two of the crimes that were mentioned are theft or sexual harassment. Participants were quizzed about how they would react if asked by a police officer if they knew any information about either of those acts. It uncovered that people would hide the truth and would even lie, which is a criminal offense, to protect their family.
To save your wife or child from going to jail, Bean? Now I'm imagining you walking across the street with Donna being like, she's jaywalking.
No, I mean, I think, look.
Such a narc.
Yeah. We're going to take calls on this, by the way. If you have ever had to face this dilemma, if you have ever had a family member commit a crime and you were in a position to flip on them and you did or didn't, what was the thinking behind it? That's what we want to talk about at 1-800-520-1067. Would you turn in your mom, your brother, your uncle, your cousin, your kids if they committed a crime?
I think everyone will say that there's levels to it. Levels to what the crime is. I'm going to tell you right now, if my dad killed a rapist, mm-hmm. I'd high five him. I'd be like, what do you want for dinner? If my mom murdered a child molester, I'd be like, can I paint your nails? You want a foot massage? What do you need?
But what about just a child?
Killed a child?
Yeah, your mom killed a child.
Just for no reason?
We don't know.
Like, was the kid crying?
I don't know.
Like, really
annoying?
The kid
annoying? Was a dick. What if the kid was a dick?
A plane ride next door?
No, absolutely. My mom would have serious problems, and I'd turn her in. Yeah, absolutely.
That one I think is easy.
Absolutely.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, I think the examples that you're giving are certainly defensible.
What about theft?
And you're right. We all 100% have a line below which we would never consider turning somebody
in. Question.
Yes.
You look in Donna's closet. And mm-hmm. there are tons of outfits with tags on them, and tons of them have that shoplifter tag still on them. You know what right. I'm talking
like,
about?
Yeah.
With
yeah.
the ink on it, like tons of them and stuff. And then you ask her, and she's like, yeah, I've been stealing them.
Okay, first of all, she would never, ever do that because she loves to spend money. I think it would take the thrill of buying stuff away from her.
Right.
But second of all, I honestly believe the answer to your question is I would talk her into returning them and doing the right thing. And I think she would see the disappointment in my face and she would do
it. But then she gets arrested when she goes and she does jail time.
I don't think you go to jail for that.
Well, let's play it out.
That's pretty.
Okay, you're how about hit and run? Accidental hit and run.
All right, that's the example that I gave. That is a very serious crime. Okay, mm-hmm. Although you could argue if you were trying to do pretzels in your mind to defend your behavior of not turning your dad in for a hit and run, mm-hmm. you could say, well, nobody got hurt. The other guy's insurance company is still going to pay for it. As far as I'm concerned, that's still a heinous thing to do.
Yes, absolutely.
I turn in somebody on a hit and run.
Your wife, Donna.
Yes, I turn her in on a hit and run.
Wow.
DJ Omar Khan.
Yeah, you know, I have two daughters, mm-hmm. and I'm kind of struggling with this because let's say they're in their 20s, mm-hmm. and they would commit murder.
Okay.
I think if I love them this much then, I don't know, they could grow up to be dicks.
Oh, trust me, right? When they're teenagers, you are going to question why you had daughters.
So I'm struggling with if they committed murder, I think I would help them flee the country or something I couldn't imagine them spending their entire lifetime in jail behind bars. Yeah. But also,
they would have deserved it.
Listen,
they would
dude,
deserve to be in jail as any murderer does.
I get it. But it's your family. It's your daughters. You know what? And it's also depending on the circumstances, right?
Yeah, like Allie was saying.
Yeah, you know, I mean, what if the guy, you know, didn't open the door for her on a date? And
she killed
him. Exactly. You know what? I can see that.
But what about the family left behind of the victim? Don't they deserve some sort of justice? Don't they deserve the murderer
and
to be apprehended?
If they want to find her in Mexico somewhere, they can.
You
they
just,
could chase her down.
You
know
what?
That did happen in my high school. There was a kid. I mean, it was a theme. It was a movie called Alpha Dog. But that was my high school where this kid Jesse set up a murder of a kid, and then his father allegedly helped him go on the run.
Oh my god!
And would hide from would basically make sure he has money and all those things, and always knew where he was, but was hiding.
That's
where
crazy.
He was. They ended
wow.
up catching him. But yeah, supposedly the dad was in on hiding him.
What if I were to tell you, because we're looking at callers at 1-800-520-1067, if you've ever had to make the decision, the hit and run example played out in real life on line two. This is going to be David. He's in NoHo. He had to make this decision. David, I'm so glad you were listening right now. What are the circumstances?
Hey, morning, guys. Love you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had a cousin who had a hit and run and called me after the hit and run to ask me if I knew anybody that had a tow truck to help him out. I asked for all the details. He explained it to me, and I told him to hang on, hung up with him, called 911, and let him know where he was at.
Wow. And he went to jail?
Well, yeah, he got caught, and they arrested him and fined him and everything, and he had to end up paying for the damages of the other vehicle. The funny thing was that his sister called me. She was like, "Oh my god, he barely got away. Poor him." And I'm like, "What about the other person who got rear-ended on the freeway? What about that person?"
Yeah. Did you tell your cousin that you were the one who turned him into the cops?
Not immediately, but afterwards, I did tell him. I said, "Hey, you know that it was me that turned you in because you were being a total ass."
And what happened? What did he say? Was he freaking out?
Well, he kind of freaked out, and then we stopped talking for almost a year or so. But then he kind of came around.
Huh. Okay, interesting that you figured out a kind of a solution that you could do it anonymously, which I guess we hadn't even thought about. But great call.
You still feel it inside, like you turned it. Yeah,
yeah. Thank you for the call. We really appreciate you listening to 1-800-520-1067. Have you ever had to turn in a family member? Did you turn in a family member, or do you turn a blind eye and be a bad American?
Yeah, like I would never turn in my wife for all the meth that she's been selling, the blue meth.
You said that out loud, by the way. You actually just said that
on the air.
Oh, I thought we were off.
We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Talking about snitches get stitches here on the Kevin DeBede Show. A new survey says that most people would not turn in a family member if they had committed a crime. What's the text we got in on the 323?
It says, "I would never snitch on anyone. I'm not like 6ix9ine or Bean."
Wow. Yeah.
Well, I do remember in her last year, my grandmother pulled up. She was 2 inches in the crosswalk with her car, the way she parked in her car. I couldn't call the SWAT team fast enough. I mean, you can't allow something like that. It just becomes anarchy if everybody just parks wherever they want. I mean, I felt bad because, she was 88. But, I mean, still, pay attention to what you're doing, Grandma.
Good Lord.
All right. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-106. And we've got a full rack of calls, by the way. A lot of crimes happening in our listeners' lives. Amber's up first from Long Beach. Good morning, Amber.
Good morning, Bean. I'm so excited to talk to you.
I'm excited to have you on the program. So you have had to encounter this where you had to make a decision about a family member doing something bad.
Yeah, and it wasn't one of the extreme, murder and rape and, the horrible things of the world that you were talking about earlier. It was actually theft, and it was my sister-in-law who was actually caught on one of the, doorbell cameras stealing stuff, and the reason why I didn't turn her in and why I didn't report it, I mean, number one, it was minor, so I didn't really know how far it would get anyway. But the thing I was most concerned about was how my mother-in-law would feel if she knew that I was the one who did it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to cause a big rift between my in-laws and, put my husband in that situation. So that was my reason for staying out of it.
I mean, that makes sense. I understand that. What did your sister-in-law steal?
It's really sad. She's got some problems. So it was actually Christmas decorations off of people's lawns. Aww. And her reasoning was that she wanted to provide her kids with a good Christmas. And so the other thing is that it was all over Facebook. You know how they have those Crime Watch pages?
Yeah.
And you should have heard the stuff that people were saying that they were going to do when they found this person. And, what if something would have happened where, she would have got beat up or put in the hospital because of the neighborhood she was in?
Yeah, that's
and,
a tough
you
one.
Know, I would have felt really guilty if something terrible would have happened to her because of her actions. I felt like, what goes around comes around and karma gets you in the end anyway.
And by the way, you disappoint Santa, that stays with you forever.
Yeah, that's
what I mean.
Naughty list, man. No one
wants
to be on
that. Naughty list, yeah. Thank you, Amber. We appreciate the call. Thank you so much for listening. Allie, Jensen, you guys agree stealing Christmas decorations, okay? You don't peep up on that?
I don't tell the cops, but I try to convince my family member to go return them. But I don't tell the cops, you weirdo. No.
No, not on that. But especially if she was trying to do it for her own kids to have a little bit of Christmas, that's heartbreaking.
Bean, by the way, is just trying to make himself alone at all times. He's trying to figure out ways that he can turn his family member.
Bean already has her murdered.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is...
What do you want for your last meal?
What about the
candy cane?
What about the family whose Christmas decorations were stolen? What about the Christmas?
I just said I want to go return. I'm going to convince her to go return it, but I'm not going to tell the cops, man.
Okay, all right. I'm just saying that family has kids too, is what I'm saying.
And their little hearts are definitely broken. Get the cops involved. We could trust all of them.
Ramey is on line one. He is in Irvine. He has an interesting take on this as an attorney. Ramey, thank you for listening to Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, man?
Morning, party people.
Morning.
So I have a cousin who got picked up on a residential burglary a couple years ago. So, of course, from family pressure, I got to represent him. So I'm representing him on his res burg. Then he and a couple friends get a bright idea to start knocking off some schools, you know, stealing computer equipment and crap like that. Ooh. He calls me in the middle of the night. I answer. I hear sirens on in the background telling me that, what do I do? What do I do? So I cussed him out, hung up the phone on him. Then the next day, because apparently he got away, comes back to me asking me what he should do. So I cussed him out again and told him to find a new attorney on the second charge. And I can't even say anything because he is my client.
Right.
Even though I wanted to turn him in, I couldn't say anything.
Well, now's a good time. You're on the radio if you want to say his name. It's a good time to let it go.
Not trying to get disbarred,
right.
So just saying, cousin, you're a moron.
Yes, okay, fantastic. I imagine if you're the attorney in the family, by the way, you are always the go-to
if there's
any kind of problem. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. All right, we got some really good calls here. Let's go to April in Redlands. I think she has an interesting case here, and I think we're all going to agree on what she did. April, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, I think I may have been beat as far as turning people in.
Oh, yeah. Okay, here's cold-blooded April. Yeah, cold-blooded April.
A fellow narc. I'm looking forward to hearing the story.
I turned my 7-year-old son in.
Oh, for murder?
For shoplifting.
Okay, that's different.
Better.
But that was to teach him a lesson, right? That's a teachable moment.
Yeah, he stole some candy at the Target checkout, and as soon as I noticed, I immediately had him go back, give it back, admit what he did to the checkout lady, and they had their security officer talk to him.
Then
I drove him straight from there to the police station. So
I'm with you. Go on.
I hope
your kid ended up in handcuffs, man.
He's still in prison.
No, he sat there with the cop, and the cop talked to him really seriously as if he was some kind of hardened criminal. But it definitely stuck with him. And my son is now 23, and he's told me that since then he's never stolen anything ever.
Or eaten candy.
Lock him up.
Or trusted his mom.
Great call. Thanks,
that's actually
April.
Awesome.
That's
awesome.
I don't know if the drive was needed over, but yes.
I liked it.
As we mentioned, our friend Taylor Williamson joins us after 8 a.m. here on K-Rock. And less than an hour from right now, we're going to be looking for your help for Keep It 100, give you a chance to pick the music that we play for you here on K-Rock, because it is Friday, and that's
Friday.
And speaking of Friday, Allie, this is another one of my favorite segments that we do every week, where you add some songs to the Kevin and Bean That's My Jam playlist.
That's exactly what we do. We have a playlist on Spotify called That's My Jam. We have linked it to our Twitter and our Facebook and our Instagram. Just follow along at Kevin and Bean. And you're going to have new music every single week from the members of the Kevin and Bean Show, because we don't pick the music we play here on the morning show. And sometimes we want to introduce you to something new, or something comes up on our playlist that we're like, oh man, remember that song? That's my jam.
And I also want to add that sometimes there's different music for different times. Mm-hmm. Like what you're hearing at 7 a.m. on a Wednesday may not be what you feel like Friday night at 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our playlist in general is kind of party heavy, don't you?
A lot, yeah.
Yeah, but, for the weekend. But it does hit a lot of different moods.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's great.
Including this one, because Kevin is not here, but he did email in his pick. My favorite part of his pick is he said, heard this at a club in Barcelona called Opium. And I was like, all right, I don't even care what your pick is. I need more on that story. But the band is Sophie Tucker, and they're an American musical duo based in New York City. I looked them up. Grammy-nominated song in 2017 called Drinky. Are you getting a theme here?
That's
with
a
Kevin
vibe, yes.
Yeah. Nominated last year for Best Dance Electronic Album. So it all makes sense. But Kevin's choice is Sophie Tucker. It's a song called Purple Hat off of their latest album, Dancing on the People. Dancing people.
Yeah.
Are you just picturing Kevin in the middle of a dance floor slamming that?
Like, I mean,
that's my jam.
Jumping on the pumping on the pumping on the bridge. Dude,
he was so on Molly when he said that.
He's
yeah. Wasn't he?
Back.
He's never coming back.
All right, Bean, you're up next.
We all agree that the best member of One Direction is Harry Styles, right?
Yes. Yeah.
He's the most most talented. But most likely, I think, to have a future successful solo career. And then after that, it's probably Kevin or Nick or Joe or one of the other
kids. Those are Jonas Brothers.
Shumpy.
Monty. I was surprised to find myself hearing and loving the new song from 1D's Liam Payne. I don't know a lot about Liam Payne. But this is a song that was co-written by Ed Sheeran, as were many previous One Direction songs, and it's so good. There's a feature from Boogie with a Hoodie on this, but I don't think that's the part we have. Liam Payne's new song is called Stack It Up.
I've been working and getting by, but that ain't enough to satisfy, 'cause I got dreams for you and I, so I got money on my mind. So if you wanna stack it up, man, you gotta work for it. Time, but that ain't enough to get me by. So I'll stack it up, man, I gotta work for it. Yeah, I got money on my mind.
Jensen, I'm going to go to you for a ruling. Bop or no bop?
Oh, I think it's a bop. It's got a real pop sound to it. Yeah,
way to go, Liam.
Good job.
All right, Jensen, you're up next.
Mine is from 21-year-old Travis Thompson. He's out of Seattle. He released a brand new album this last week called Reckless Endangerment. He looks like if there was a new Sandlot movie and they needed like kind of a cute, chubby Mexican kid.
Okay.
He's very adorable, and you would never imagine that his rapping comes out of this cute little boy. Mm-hmm. It's almost Milanakis-esque at times.
So he's 60?
But you would no, he's 21, but he looks 14. Listen, he was first introduced to the world
by...
You
didn't find him by being on the website Guys That Are 21 That Look 14, did you?
Oh, no. I've already been... No. I can't look at that from here. I've already been banned from it in the workplace. So he was introduced to the world by Macklemore, also out of Seattle, but don't hold that against him. He was on a Macklemore song called Cornerstone. But this whole album is really fun, and it's kind of very true to him, and I've been listening to it a lot more than I thought. This song is called Dropping Babies.
It ain't nothing you can tell me, drop the world, bitch. It ain't nothing you can tell me, drop the world, bitch. We drop babies and raising they stock crazy in seconds. So I'm on the minute till I make it on. It ain't nothing you can tell me, drop the world, bitch. It ain't nothing you can tell me, drop the world,
bitch. My bitch heady like all my crimes. You ready? Then call my line. Brought an ounce to the levee and got some steady. They hate on the right from the place I be on the pine. With a tree good and the weather trash. They Fleetwood with the pedal back. 'Cause the team good and the level pass. You will be good. Where you headed at? Take a deep look at that bezel that they got.
Got a little sweatpants vibe on that. Donald Glover.
He's good.
Childish Gambino, excuse me, my bad.
Travis Thompson out of Seattle, much like our friend Bean. He represents your hood. Bean, he has a song on the new album with Macklemore and Sir Mix-a-Lot, the two most famous Seattle rappers ever.
Okay.
So, you know.
Representing the Emerald City.
Get into it.
All right. My band is a four-piece band hailing from Dublin. They did a show with Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, his big homecoming show at Manchester's Heaton Park, and he'd wanted them to play because he just really likes them. He said they sound like early U2 and Echo and the Bunnymen. So when I heard that, I was like, let me pick this band.
Yeah, you're in without even hearing it.
I didn't even need to hear them. But now I am super stoked to see them November 14th at the Roxy. See if you get a vibe from this band. They're called Inhaler, and the song is My Honest Face.
I get a little early U2 and maybe some Echo and the Bunnymen.
Yeah, you do. There's a reason you get some early U2. The front man is Elijah Hewson. His dad is Paul Hewson. You might know him as Bono.
Wow.
No way.
Very this cool. band
You gotta have
rules.
Guts to be a rock singer if your dad is Bono.
I'm going
to
tell you this. I knew nothing about them until I heard the description, listened to them, and I was like, they're freaking awesome. Looked them up to be able to tell you some stuff about them. And I was like, oh, dude, that's Bono's kid.
That's very cool.
That's awesome. They sound wonderful.
Again, that's awesome. He didn't go by Bono Jr. You know what I mean? He wants to make it on his own.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
I like it. November 14th, by the way, at the Roxy, if you want to check
them
out.
By the way, very talented family. You know, his daughter Eve is a very successful actress as well. Have you seen her? She's very talented, very pretty.
No, I didn't know.
I know that Bono married a woman named Allie, so all good things are coming to him.
Okay.
Yeah, she's right.
Isn't that how it works? No? Mm-hmm. All right, some birthdays for you. Oh, by the way, you can find all of that at Kevin and Bean. It is our That's My Jam playlist. And it's wonderful.
I think four great songs today, by the way. I like them all.
Absolutely. Gwyneth Paltrow, Meatloaf, Lil Wayne,
hey, Mom,
Avril Lavigne.
We need some Meatloaf!
I'm so sorry. Remember earlier, Bean, when you said, Allie, give me a beat after you say Meatloaf because I've got a drop for you?
But even though you powered through it, I still insisted on forcing it in because I was committed to it.
I am so sorry. You want to do it again?
Let's do it again.
Okay. Some birthdays for you. Gwyneth Paltrow, Meatloaf.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some Meatloaf?
Lil Wayne, Avril Lavigne, and our own associate producer, Christine.
Yay. Later this hour, in about 20 minutes or so, we're giving out tickets to WWE SmackDown 20th Anniversary at Staples Center next Friday night with every major superstar from Raw and SmackDown Live. Tickets are on sale now. You can win them in minutes here on K-Rock. Speaking of wrestling, Taylor Williamson, our longtime friend and comedian, I had no idea you were such a wrestling head.
Oh, hey, good morning, everybody.
Taylor. Hey, good morning to you. Morning. How far back do you go with the love of wrestling?
I loved it. My earliest childhood memory, besides my father coming to my my 3-year-old birthday party, my mom kicking him out, is
which is kind of wrestling.
My dad was Hulk Hogan. Yeah. Is that what you're about to say?
Your dad is Hulk Hogan?
No, your dad, who was kicked out, was Hulk Hogan.
I wish.
Okay, sorry to interrupt. Wish.
Hulk Hogan's still in my life, you know. I thought that'd be fine.
Okay.
Opening up like crazy.
A man who's been exposed as a racist. You're like, wish that guy was my dad.
Listen, my dad. All right. I'm uncomfortable now. I was trying to make you guys uncomfortable, and then it backfired on me, and then
Mission
I'm uncomfortable. How did that happen?
So wrestling.
I like wrestling. Oh, my earliest memory is Macho Man Randy Savage. I'm looking at Jensen because he respects this.
Mm-hmm.
When Jake the Snake Roberts had his snake biting Macho Man.
By the way, an incredible moment in wrestling that stuck with anyone watching it as a kid.
Great. Do you remember
Terrifying.
That?
Oh, I remember vividly where I was. I was at a kid named Ito's house. I remember everything.
Like, even if you don't like wrestling, I would suggest you look this up at work and possibly lose your job. And it's back when everyone watched this stuff, and a snake bit Macho Man. It's a whole story.
Just in the arm, and they weren't sure if it was venom. I mean, there's supposedly a behind-the-scenes story. It's even crazier. It looks like you're watching Crocodile Hunter. I mean, it's just a snake biting a man.
And that is where Jake the Snake came from.
He already had snake.
All right, whatever. I'm just trying to play.
Yeah, trying to be involved.
Allie was trying to make us feel uncomfortable.
Wrestling
is, and I think Jensen was saying this off the air, and I think the case can be made legitimately that wrestling is bigger now than it has ever been.
I don't know. I wonder about that, actually.
It definitely has the opportunity than ever. I mean, going to Fox this next week, or this next month, like all of those things that are going on, there's gonna be wrestling on television every day of the week in a month.
Isn't that crazy?
Which is, I've never heard of. We used to be able to watch once a week.
And Taylor, what's this AEW thing that you're involved in?
I'm not,
and that's the root beer people, right?
Yeah. they're my friends, and they have this new show coming out on TNT, and I'm not involved with them really, but I did they asked me to talk to some of their fans after a wrestling show a couple of months ago, and then I was like, so I went on the street, like, so I put on like a little suit and like some content, you know, they love the content, the people.
Sure, yeah, content is very big now.
Key.
So like they're like, go up to like the fans and talk to them and be silly with them. So I kept going up to like these wrestling fans, like, hey, you want to be on the camera for some content? And they were like, no.
Maybe don't pitch it like that for some content. What a creep.
Is that what I did wrong?
Yes.
I'm from WikiFeet.
That's essentially what they heard.
I was just showing an actress friend's mom her daughter's WikiFeet page.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it didn't go over very well.
Jensen,
I know who it was. Was it?
I put my foot in my mouth. Never mind. But
Jensen, is your wife on WikiFeet?
Oh my god, yes. My wife is definitely on worse sites than WikiFeet.
That'd be horrible.
A lot of deep fakes of my wife out there. Yeah.
You gotta, if you run a website, you have to put your wife on it, right, Jensen?
Oh, right. Wow. It would be weird if I created this entire empire and didn't involve my family.
Yes, exactly.
So I was looking for wrestling fans, and no one wanted to talk to me. So then I saw Beer Mug, and I was like,
just randomly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was like, do you want to talk? He's like, yeah. And then like I'm asking all these questions, like, what do you think about Chris Jericho? And he's like, who's that?
I know who Chris Jericho is.
No. You don't go to Mugs for brains.
No.
I'm sorry. You just go for
how
his,
dare you?
Just go for his good looks.
Yeah, exactly.
But he made
by the way,
video.
Taylor is going to be at the Bray Improv, by the way, next Sunday, October 6th. Why no Friday and Saturday? Why Sunday only?
You always ask me this.
I'm sorry. I don't remember the answer.
The answer is because I'm really famous.
Right. Okay.
See, like the people who aren't really famous, they have to do like 4 nights because they have to try to sell their tickets.
It doesn't make any sense.
I see.
With me, I'm like, listen, I tell my agent, I'm like, listen, guy, you know, happy Rosh Hashanah, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know? And then I need to do 1 night.
And make it a Sunday.
Sunday, right. And which is the night everyone wants to go out.
It's a big night.
So it's not that you're not popular, it's just that your audience is more selective.
I think it's both. You know, Sunday night, Married with Children's not on anymore.
Right. You know, and you had such a crossover with them.
That's right.
You know, Ed O'Neill's a big fan.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He's still on Married with Children. Sure.
Yeah.
Taylor, true or false? Dave told me that you have. How old are you, first of all, son?
I'm 33.
Okay. Dave told me that you very recently started drinking alcohol, and I find that difficult to believe.
Do I seem like a drunk?
You seem drunk now, but I mean, just
I get told that actually.
I assume that you. What he means is you are drinking more socially now than you used to, but you probably drank some in your 20s, right?
No, I never drank in my life
at all.
Never.
Wow, what made you start?
Well, here's what I decided.
Is it your career again?
Is it your dad?
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, my dad brought me alcohol. I didn't see him in 30 years, and he brought me some alcohol.
He's like, I just got back from the store. Right.
I told you I'd come back.
I told you I was going to get alcohol.
That's so funny.
All right, so what happened? Was there a moment, or were you just involved with at a party or something like that, and it just seemed like a good idea, and you enjoyed yourself? What happened?
Well, I never drank. Like, I started when I was been around a lot of people who drank a lot, and I was like, oh, this is kind of weird. And then I started comedy when I was 17. I'm surrounded by super extreme alcoholics, and some people ruin their careers, and I was like, so I kind of was like, oh, I don't need that, you know.
You just avoided it.
Sure.
By the way,
I respect that decision. I don't drink at all either, Taylor. Not
really.
A
drop.
And he's
at
not
all.
Surrounded by anyone.
Yeah, I'm not surrounded by anyone. Just not something I ever got into. Never drank. Never smoked. Never did drugs. I'm totally down with you doing that. But what happened? What changed?
Oh no, we were in like a club together.
Yeah, he feels like you let him down, is what I'm picking up.
Oh man, so I was just like, I was in Tokyo in January, and I was just like. Kind of YOLO, you know? Mm-hmm. I was trying to sell a show for a few years, but I do things for the first time and I've never done before. So I was excited, like, well, I'm going to save this for this TV show. But spoiler alert, that didn't work out.
You know? It was just a Tuesday in Tokyo?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And my buddies. And then also, dating and stuff, I like who I am. I'm a great guy, mm-hmm. I'm very handsome, mm-hmm.
But, sure, yeah.
Looking around. Beer
indisputable.
Mug.
Thank you.
He wasn't listening.
Oh, you're handsome. Yeah, you're handsome, Taylor.
Oh, he thought he was being complimented.
Yeah, I thought you were complimenting me.
Okay. No, it's about me. And then I decided I don't need more deal breakers. Mm-hmm. For as picky as I am for women,
yeah,
my standards are way too high for what I have to offer.
Sure.
So I realized I need to have more to offer. Huh. Or less,
oh, I see.
Less not okay. to offer.
So wait, in other words, drinking more is what you're giving to offer?
It's honestly weird girls out throughout, and ladies and women. Hashtag woman. My friend got so mad at me. I used the word girls to talk about girls. Huh? She's like, are you dating a 14-year-old? You know?
And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would I call her a lady? Anyway, women throughout my life, they've been weirded out if you're like, hey.
Yeah, they're turned off and weirded out because they don't trust somebody who doesn't drink.
Bean, you get it?
Yeah, I totally get it. I know exactly what you're saying. There are a lot of people who feel like you're the weirdo if you don't drink. So you thought, hey, you know what? I'm just going to fit in a little bit more with the general population, and I'm going to have a few.
And you know what happened to me, Bean? I started drinking. Everyone's like, you never drank and you're so weird. I'm still
so
weird.
Still following
still
you.
Weird.
Yes. Do you enjoy it?
I don't get it at all, honestly. It doesn't make sense to me, honestly.
You're still doing it, but you don't love it.
I'll get a drink at a bar. I haven't been drunk, but like, it just.
Oh, you got to put that on your checklist of things you've never done then.
Even in Tokyo, you didn't get drunk?
No.
Oh.
I got you know, like, this is what I compare it to. And I realize these are conversations you have when you're 15, like, with your friends. Like, well,
what
is this happening? I'm like 33, like,
yeah.
Hey, is this normal? But, like,
so,
One
question, Taylor, before the break, and that is, so when you're essentially a new drinker at 33, how do you decide what your signature drink is going to be? Like, you have so much to choose from. Like, do you have one that's Taylor's drink now?
That's a really good question. I went with vodka soda because it just looks like water.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't taste like anything to me, and it doesn't, it's really boring.
Mm-hmm. You drinkers in the room approve? Good choice?
I wish it was a Cosmo or something like that.
I'll take a Mai Tai.
I'm like, oh, Shirley Temple?
I'm glad you said it before I did, because they make fun of me of my references from the 1950s. Okay, Taylor Williamson is here next Sunday, October 6th. You can see him on stage at the Brea Improv. He is very funny. Trust us on this. Tickets on sale now, improv.com/Brea. More with Taylor after this on K-Rock. He is the second funniest man in America. He is Taylor Williamson. He'll be appearing at the Brea Improv next Sunday, October 6th. Tickets on sale now, improv.com. Brea. By the way, I don't want to steal any of your thunder here, Taylor, but Ali is on stage tonight and tomorrow night.
Well, now I find out that's when the least popular people go on Friday and Saturdays.
Oh, no.
Let's invite Taylor to that show, Ali, and let's remind our listeners what you and the great Patrick Warburton are going to be doing tonight and tomorrow night.
Yeah, we're going to be at Levity Live in Oxnard doing a there was a best-selling slew of books called Letters from a Nut. And it was a man named Ted L. Nancy that wrote these letters to big corporations that were just trolling. So
he was a Seinfeld writer.
Yeah. He's the one that created Coffee and Cars with Calvin.
Yeah.
That guy. His name's Barry Martyr is his real name. And it's basically him reading all of the funny letters on stage. And I am the representative from the company reading the responses. So it's tonight and tomorrow, me and Patrick Warburton.
That's
God
so much fun.
Funny.
How cool is
Seinfeld.
That? Now, Taylor, you always come in here trying to get people to come to your shows. Now it's time for a little quid pro quo.
Yeah.
I think maybe you ought to be.
Are you going to come Friday or Saturday or both?
Yeah. What should we put you down for?
Listen, oh, I got on guest list?
Oh, my God. Now he wants a free ticket.
Jeez.
This is sad.
It has gone to his head,
it
man.
Is ridiculous.
I mean, I think the least you could do is to support Ali on stage at the Improv.
The tickets are $600.
Listen, I'm a rich, famous comedian. Uh-huh. I sell out Sunday night shows.
Right.
Cool.
Right.
In Brea. Did you know Brea is like the trashier Vine? Did you know that? Should I say that?
No, because you have a show there Sunday.
Trying to sell your ticket.
Like I was to see Orange County as like the people better than me and stuff. You know, mm-hmm. But then when I go to Brea, they just say, no, we're not. They tell me they're not.
Okay. You're playing in Brea.
Am I selling tickets bad?
No!
I'm Hulk Hogan, by the way.
I turn heel on the crowd.
Speaking of you being a rich and famous comedian, there's something else that I can't help but notice, Taylor, from your social media, and that is you are dating so far out of your league. I mean, you even made a reference to it last segment that you have very little to offer a woman. You're dating models, Taylor. Models.
This is what Dave says.
Well, we're all obsessed with it. We understand that you've got a great personality.
I'm not obsessed with it, one, because I understand that. I mean, listen, I know I'm coming from a place of commonality here, but I feel that that funny people bring a lot to the table, and a lot of good-looking people are stupid and dumb, and you wouldn't want to be around them. So I feel like we comedy people get a lot more.
But there has to be hold on here. There has to be a balance. There has to be a happy medium. No, for an attractive woman, there has to be a happy medium where she can find somebody who's better looking than Taylor. But not quite as funny as Taylor.
Oh.
You know what
There's
I mean?
Not. Like, he's like very meet funny in the middle. He's good looking.
But thank meet you. In the well, middle you. A little bit is what I'm saying.
Wow, this is just like I feel like I have one hand in like a bucket of cold water and one hand in a bucket of hot water. That's how I feel.
And you have to pee.
And do I have to pee also? Is that a thing?
Isn't that a thing?
Yeah, when your hand's in water, sure.
Taylor, why are you so ugly and get hot chicks is what Bean is asking in the most common, nice way.
Listen, I'm an 8.
Taylor, out of 100, yes.
Bean, you don't find me sexually attractive, Bean.
Taylor, look, here's what I'm saying.
See, Bean's jealous that he's not a model, and we have a chance together.
And by the way, Bean kicked out of his coverage, too.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question about that. I definitely way above my pay grade. But here's what I'm saying, Taylor, is you are not... I love you, okay? Don't get me wrong. I love you.
This is quite a wind-up.
I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe the ladies adore your looks, but I feel like the ladies think, well, it's a good thing he's got a great personality.
Unbelievable.
Bean. Am I wrong, Allie? You're a lady.
You're very wrong.
Really?
Yes. Do you think if somebody has a great personality, but you're not sexually attracted to them at all, you just get by on the personality?
No.
Their personality often makes what is attractive about them even escalated.
Yeah, I'm not saying Taylor doesn't grow on people, but I'm saying...
Oh, my God, Bean.
Much like fungus.
But I'm saying, how does the model have the first conversation with Taylor? Because the model, if I can remind you, is really, really hot.
Did you not hear Jensen? He said that attractive people are stupid and boring.
It's true.
So what does the model have to offer except being really hot?
Well, the model doesn't need to offer anything else.
Yeah. Women are weird.
Okay. Yeah, we're not concerned about that.
Here's what I think.
I think that because dudes are mostly very dumb and bad in relationships or in communication, guys who are good at communication really are able to find themselves in better looking relationships. That's just what it is. Communication is attractive. And because comedians or people who do this kind of thing for a living are good at communication, we become catches.
Jensen has admitted on the show, Taylor, that he has, am I quoting you correctly, that you've always dated above your standing.
I don't think I've ever dated anyone who I technically deserve.
You're always the lesser person in the relationship.
Correct.
Yeah.
I have never physically been better looking than anyone I've ever dated. Correct. I will admit it. I'm open to admit it. But I think that because I thank other men for that, because most people are so bad to people they've dated or so bad at communicating that people who come around and are sensitive, like artists or comedians or musicians, have a better time because we can do that.
And let's be honest, ladies that are listening, they work harder.
Okay. Well, that's a good tip also.
I mean, you're still pointing, which is
just saying they work harder.
Down, pointing down.
Taylor, are you serial dating or are you having long-term relationships? Where are you?
I would like a relationship. I had this girl say this to me, really quick. It's kind of funny. It might be funny. Let me know. A lady said to me on a date once, she's like, I'm comfortable dating you because Woody Allen also dated models.
I mean, was this before or after the true problem?
Well, she was also 14.
wow. Oh, dear.
And she was your daughter.
She not anymore.
Right. That's right, because you split up with mom. Gotcha.
I'm trying to end this awful bit.
So are you getting multiple dates with these models?
Oh, you're supposed to go on multiple ones?
Yes, that's the plan anyway.
This whole segment makes me sad.
Wait, but Kevin told me hit it and quit it.
Well, Kevin. You definitely want dating advice from Kevin.
Yes. He's clearly the father you need.
Yeah, that's not a bad strategy either, Taylor. Let's have Taylor stick around since he loves the wrestling and we're giving away the wrestling tickets, all right?
We're giving away SmackDown anniversary tickets.
Really?
Can you be here for one more, Taylor?
I would love to, thank you.
WWE SmackDown 20th anniversary happened at the Staples Center next Friday night. If you want to win the tickets, you can play a game. Call us right now, 1-800-520. I'm just thinking out loud here, but wouldn't Taylor Williams be an outstanding replacement for your friend Bean here
in a few weeks when I leave the show? Listen to this guy kissing his ass now. Called him ugly, called him... Oh,
no, that's why he's perfect for radio.
Wow.
I'm just saying, there may be an opening on the show.
He's still here.
I like Taylor so much. Wouldn't it be great if Taylor took over my job?
He's sitting in here, Bean.
Can I say a sincere thing for 20 seconds?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Bean, I want to say thank you so much. You guys, you and Allie and
what's
his
name?
The monkey.
Kevin.
That's about it, really.
Okay.
You guys, having me on your show, of course, Jensen, but before, hey, that was over 20 seconds, but it really impacted my life for happiness and career, and thank you so much for all that you do for me and comedians.
And let me just say this right back at you. Nobody cares what you think, Taylor. All right, the WWE SmackDown Anniversary Show is happening next Friday night at Staples Center. We're going to give away some tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067. The game is called Beer Mug Make Music Out of Mouth.
All right. It's time to get sexy. Here on Kevin and Bean, Beer Mug is going to make music with his mouth. Beer Mug, make music with your mouth. Pow, pow, pow. Beer Mug, make music with your mouth. Ding dong, ding de doo. Beer Mug, make music.
Thank you, Omar.
Make music with your mouth. Beer Mug.
Okay. Oh my God.
Make music.
Oh my God.
Please stop. Please.
We have
mouth.
Okay.
You guys know the name of the game?
We gotta give away some tickets.
Also, I mean, the fact that he can't. I mean, are we gonna talk over it or let it play?
Let it fit in.
Okay. And the funniest part is he came in here and was bragging about it way like 2 hours ago. Wait to hear the song for music with your mouth.
Yes, Jensen, you were saying.
I just can't believe this. Okay, so listen, we're giving away these tickets to WWE. Such a big event. Ric Flair's going to be there. Hulk Hogan's going to be there. It's going to be incredible, but you're going to hear something kind of mediocre before that, which is that we forced Beer Mug to listen to some wrestling themes, and then now he's going to try his hardest to replicate it with his mouth live for you. All you have to do is tell us what Superstars theme he is making.
Okay. Sounds easy enough. Now, we just have one winner at the end, so if you get it right, you go into a drawing. We're going to say hi to David. He's up first. He's in Pacoima on the Kevin Beach Show. David, good morning.
Good morning, party people.
All right, David. So here it is. This is going to be a song made with Beer Mug's mouth. You're going to tell me what Superstars theme it is.
All right, here we go.
We got it. That's a lot after Omar's intro.
Oh, man. Okay, David, what superstar is that?
I hope that's Hulk Hogan.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm Hulk Hogan, by the way.
American. All right, well done. He is in the drawing. Let's see what we can do with Anthony up next, La Mirada on K-Rock.
Anthony, how you doing?
I'm good. Good morning, guys.
Anthony, you know the name of the game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Beer Mug, make music with your mouth.
Did you get the first one, Anthony? Did you know that was Hulk Hogan?
I did.
All right, here's your chance. Tell us what Superstar Muggs is trying to replicate theme songs.
All right, here we go.
Ba-bum, ba-bum, ba-bum. Ba-bum, ba-bum, ba-bum. Ba-bum, ba-bum, ba-bum. Ba-bum.
Anthony, what superstar is that?
I'm going to take a guess. I don't know that one. I'm going to go with Triple H.
That is not Triple H. That was Stone Cold Steve Austin.
It does kind of sound like
it. Yeah, that was a good one.
Taylor, did you know that one?
You know it?
Yeah, I knew that one.
Okay. All right, very good.
Let's try Callista, Simi Valley, line three, please, our next contestant.
Hi, Callista. Okay, so this is going to be the theme of a superstar. Muggs is going to try his hardest, which isn't much. Tell us what superstar this theme song is.
All right, here we go, Callista. Listen up.
Bum, 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 bum,
okay,
thank you.
Yep.
We're begging you.
You got it.
All right, someone is graduating. Congratulations. All right, what's the answer?
I have no idea.
Oh, that was Randy Macho Man Savage. Into a Slim Jim.
Oh my God!
Are we allowed to ask questions?
Taylor can ask questions.
What made you go? I've never in my life, all my years of making noises in my mouth, gone bra. Who does the bra?
That's a Beer Mug exclusive.
All right.
That's me. That's a signature.
That's how he makes music.
I feel like Muggs did an okay job with that one. I think that one was on the call.
He's doing good.
Yeah. I think.
No, it's so good, but I've never heard bra. I've heard ma.
He makes some weird decisions.
That's what I do when I make music with my mouth.
Beer Mug.
Make music. Okay. With your mouth.
You really, truly are our Bobby McFerrin.
Let's go to a great reference. Let's go to Compton and say hi to Manuel up next on K-Rock. Again, we're playing for WWE SmackDown Anniversary Show. Their 20th is coming up next Friday at Staples Center. Good morning, Manuel.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Manuel. Hope you're a wrestling head because this is a theme song of what superstar?
Here we go.
Thank you, Muggs. Thank you, Muggs. All right, Manuel.
Who is that?
Let's do, I don't know, do you freaking Jeff Hardy? I don't know.
No.
Hardy Boys?
That was, I thought you were going to go there. It's the Ultimate Warrior.
Okay. I can see it. I think we have time for one more, maybe. So far, David is the only one in the drawing, so let's see if Garrett from Anaheim can join him there.
Okay, Garrett, this is going to be your chance to get in there. You big wrestling head?
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go. This is the theme song to what superstar? Hit it, Muggs.
Ma, ma, ma. Ma, 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 ma. Ma, 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 ma. Ma, 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 ma.
Pretty good.
Ma, 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 ma. Ma, 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 ma. Ma, ma, ma.
It's a hard one, though.
It's a hard one, but that was very good.
I'm also glad it's over. Garrett.
I'm going to say that, Bjorn Mug, that was pretty glorious because that was Bobby.
Yeah! Yeah!
Garrett is indeed a wrestling head, a deep cut right there.
By the way,
huh?
That's a bop for a song.
Yeah. That's good. All right, Garrett, you're in the running, as is your friend David up there on line one. Unfortunately, only one can win. And by the way, I haven't mentioned this. Tickets are on sale now at the box office or AXS.com for the SmackDown next Friday night. And there'll be Kofi Kingston versus Brock Lesnar for the championship that night as well. In addition to all the stuff from the past, there's only one winner, though. Who's it going to be?
The winner is Garrett.
Yay! Garrett, congratulations. The Bobby Roode poll got you the tickets.
Yep.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you very much for listening. Taylor, thanks for coming in, buddy.
Can I hear, thank you for having me. Can I hear the rest of them off the air?
Yeah, yeah, I'll play
sure.
Mixtape.
Sure you can.
And thanks for playing Beer Mug Make Music with Your Mouth.
Beer Mug Make Music with Your
Every Friday morning, just after 9, here on the world-famous K-Rock, we have a listener on the air who has picked a song that they want to hear. A K-Rock song, usually something we haven't heard in a long time, and they get to be on the radio and introduce it. And this week, we want that to be you. We call it Keep It 100. You can text us right now at 1-800-520-1067. Any K-Rock song, if we still have it, we will play it for you. Here are some of the selections you've chosen in recent weeks.
Ryan.
Telling you what, I would listen to that station, wouldn't you? 1-800-520-1067. Text us right now. Text your 100. You get to keep it 100 here on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Allie, what the hell is happening?
I got some breaking news.
Oh.
Some serious breaking news, you guys.
All right, hang on. I got to find my thing here.
Okay.
Oh, why can't I find my thing?
Can I give you horns in the meanwhile?
Oh, and now, breaking news, boom.
And now... a breaking news bulletin.
Live, local, late breaking.
All right, let's hear it.
After publicly parting ways over a deal gone south, Disney, Marvel, and Sony are back at the table, close to striking a deal that would see Marvel produce one more Spider-Man film.
What?
Sony.
God, they love money. I can't believe it.
It's crazy.
It's nuts. I can't believe it.
That was a very nasty breakup between those two.
And then they're like, wait, how much? Come on, let's chat.
Wow.
You on the buoy again?
I am. I'm out here in the middle of the ocean.
Literally a flock of seagulls.
literally.
Can you run so far away from me? Just it's so hard to hear.
So, you know, I'm the least Marvel guy ever, but does that also mean that Spider-Man can continue in the MCU universe as well?
Yeah, that's the most important thing,
that's
really.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love this.
I'm always weirded out when people think it's like, oh, they did it for the fans, or oh, what good news for us. It's like, dudes, these are mega billion companies trying to figure out the best way to make money. You know what I mean? Like, it's so obvious these guys are going to try to get it to work. They want to buy an eighth house.
Right.
Do you think Kevin Feige's like, I mean, yeah, I'm going to be doing Star Wars too. If Sony, if you want to come back, it's cool.
He's like, I got a hat budget. I got a hat budget to fill. Yes.
So that's very exciting news, everybody.
Yeah, it's big.
Very much exciting news. Maybe not as exciting, but still kind of cool. Jennifer Lopez and Shakira are going to be performing during the Supertime halftime show. Supertime? Super Bowl.
Sure.
The Super Bowl half show.
That's legally what we have to call it. The Supertime.
It's too soon to find this out, but it's going to go down February 2nd, 2020. They confirmed the news yesterday. I feel like you wait. You add a little bit, like, oh, who could it be? Who's it going to be? And then they decide. I feel like it's too soon.
Yeah, it does seem a little early. I agree. And I'm also very disappointed with their decision.
Because it's not Weird Al.
Because it's not Weird Al, right.
Yeah. You need to just make it clear. It's not that you don't like Jennifer Lopez and Shakira.
Oh, no. I think they're a great choice. I think they're maybe the second best choice for the Super Bowl in Miami this year.
I do like the idea of having Shakira up there. And she's like, no, no, wait, no, right now. Like, she's doing her thing. Mm-hmm. And then they just pan over and Al is freaking killing the accordion.
Yes.
Just next to her, like, just, like, that would be cool.
Maybe that's the answer, is just to have Al on all Super Bowl halftime shows just playing the accordion with whoever's performing.
I mean, we've always said that songs are made better by an accordion.
Yeah, all ladies say that.
Absolutely. Good Lord. Beyonce is attempting to put an argument over the trademarking of Blue Ivy Carter's name to rest. And she's bringing up the 7-year-old's position as a cultural icon to do it. Here's the thing. She tried to file for a trademark for Blue Ivy Carter in 2012 after her daughter was born. She wanted to launch some products, whatever, just get it done. Except Blue Ivy was the name of a wedding planning company. A woman named Veronica Morales already had that application and citing her own trademark on Blue Ivy. So now there's newly filed court documents. According to sources, Morales' claim is consumers are, Beyonce hit back at her claim saying, consumers are likely to be confused between a boutique wedding event planning business and Blue Ivy Carter, the daughter of two of the most famous performers in the world. That's what it says in this report.
Right.
I don't know if that's verbatim, but good Lord, that's just,
I mean, she's right, and it's also a dick thing to say.
So gross.
But also,
it is gross.
It seems weird that because you're famous and you named your child a certain thing, it would take precedence over someone else's copyright.
No,
you just can't do that.
It doesn't.
No, she's in the wrong.
Yeah.
She's in the wrong here. And now that I've said that, not only will that lady get killed by the Illuminati, so will I.
Yeah.
Hey, Queen.
The Beehive's coming after you. The documents reportedly state Blue Ivy Carter is a cultural icon who's been described as a mini-style star and has been celebrated for her fashion moments over the years. I can't.
No.
And
all of that, to Jensen's point, is irrelevant in a copyright claim.
Doesn't matter.
Maybe just let your kid be a kid and don't worry about what you can sell off her name.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
You. Or just come up with a name for her business. You know, Blue Ivy's blank. Whatever that blank is, call them, you know, name her company that. There's a way around this, is what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be her name.
True story. All right, some birthdays for you. Avril Lavigne, Lil Wayne, Gwyneth Paltrow, Meatloaf.
You want it?
Nope. Okay. Own associate producer, Christine. Happy birthday.
Fun fact, Billie Eilish, musical guest on Saturday Night Live, returning for its new season tomorrow night with Woody Harrelson as the host.
Yeah.
I will be tuning in for that. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, you guys, every week at this time, we do a little feature that we like to call Keep It 100.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
I'ma keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
We ask you to text us at 1-800-520-1067, any K-Rock song, past or present. If we have it, we'll play. We had some good choices this week. Texter number 99 was Tia, who wanted to hear No Doubt, Excuse Me, Mister. She even said Pretty Please, but she was Texter 99.
We would have done it for Tamara, but not for Tia.
Wow,
file.
I think file. Texter 101 was Peter from Carson, In the Mood for a Little Maps by Yeah, Yeah, Yeah.
Oh,
the Yeah, Yeah, Yeahs, which is a great song as well. But neither of them are Texter 100 because that honor is reserved for Alex from San Pedro. Alex.
What's up, guys?
Tell me and be honest, what are you doing right now?
Well, about 10 seconds ago when Dave called me, I was at work taking a dump. And
our people.
And, you guys know automatic toilets, right? They flush whenever they want. It's like they have a mind of their own.
Yeah. Totally, yes.
And I'm trying to give them my info, and it's like, oh, sorry, hold on.
Nice. Jensen, how do you feel about Alex's ability to poop at work? Are you so jealous?
I am jealous, but Alex, do you find like a hidden bathroom, or do you just go with the one everyone uses?
No, like my body is so programmed that every day around this time at 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, they know what I'm doing.
I have to find a hidden one before I even take a job. So
yeah, understood. All right, well, listen, Alex, I think we got a little bit off topic, but we're delighted that you're regular.
And Alex, but how do you only go once a day at okay. nine, or do you go like later in the day?
We don't need any
front
of
to back
these
wiper.
Details.
Or okay,
you know what? Just once, but if,
really
depends how much spicy food I eat. Sometimes
yeah,
we'll make it
sure. Because sometimes I'm 2 a day, and I have a friend that like barely goes like twice a week, and her exact words were, "Allie, I want your poo life." And
I got that
tattoo. 2 a day, McKay, man.
It helps so much when your body's on a schedule. Like,
amen. Okay.
You know what? If I could just change the topic,
absolutely.
On target.
If we could just change
and
the topic,
and they're solid. Have you okay. ever done the S,
Alex?
Hey,
you available to do the Dr.
Yeah,
Drew segment tomorrow?
Doesn't want to go down all the way. Yeah.
Okay.
It's
stop.
Awesome.
Everybody, stop. Stop.
Hammer time.
Seriously, stop. I hate it. I've already quit. I can't quit again. The reason Alex is on the phone is because it's Keep It 100 time. Alex, how did you select the song that you picked for us this week?
I just love rage. It's Friday. I want to get in the rage mood. You know, we got a weekend coming up. So that's pretty much it.
All right. Go ahead and introduce it to all the K-Rock listeners, please.
All right, guys. Here comes No Enemy by Rage Against the Machine.
All right. Now go flush.
Keep It 100.
of which are American dreams. All of which are American dreams.
Sir, this is a Dairy Queen.
I want to say that we owe Kevin B. Lister, Alex from San Pedro, a great debt of gratitude. Yeah! Because that was an outstanding choice.
That was.
For Keep It 100.
And
outstanding.
He gets to enjoy it feeling so much lighter.
Yeah.
Right? He had just
poop
taken
free?
A poop.
Yeah. A couple of fun facts about Know Your Enemy from Rage Against the Machine. That is the voice of Maynard James Keenan on vocals during the bridge section. Don't know if you remember that or not. And also, Stephen Perkins from Jane's Addiction is on that song as well, playing additional percussion in it. So they got a couple of guests in addition to the Rage Four.
Hell yeah.
Great song, Allie. It was not released as a single, so it came out on the album. What year are we looking at for Know Your Enemy first being exposed to the K-Rock listeners?
Honestly, I thought you meant like that Perkins guy that is in
Third Eye Blind.
Third Eye Blind.
No,
like, why would they have done that?
Stephen Jenkins is not
Stephen
in that song.
Stephen Jenkins is who I
different,
pictured.
Different guy, right? Exactly.
Stephen Jenkins, not much for Revolution music.
Okay, right. Got it. That was during high school, and I knew who my enemy was. And
okay.
You went to Crespi High School, mm-hmm. right there on Ventura Boulevard in Encino. You know who you are,
Jeff.
Jeff.
Stupid Jeff.
Stupid Jeff. I will say 92.
Have you settled on 92?
92.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, it is.
Yay!
Woohoo! November 3rd of 1992 is when the first Rage Against the Machine album came out, and that is Know Your Enemy. Great
choice.
I thought
it was 93.
Thanks again, Alex. This has been Keep It One.
It's a shame there's no way to recap things that happened during the week.
Yeah, people miss a ton of stuff.
It is weird that we do so many things and then no one knows what happens at the end.
I know, I barely listen.
It's Friday on the show and I'm nervous for you. So in case you missed it, here's the week in review. Christine went to the mall and ran for her life while Bean made wheezing sounds into the mic. And he avoided the doctor's office like it was a sport. So the broken bone almost split into a fork. I bought uncut Jerry Springer DVDs. I don't have a question, but how about these? Bean's cool with 6 trailers, I want 3. We said hello to Seth Green and Matt Bellamy. We went over details of a Goose game and were reminded that Big Bobber died on a plane. Terrence Howard seems to be a blasted interviews and a milkshake duck almost ruined great news. When I text message, it's repeatedly fast. If you missed that, download the podcast.
1-877 cars for kids. KARS cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids. Donate your car today. Also on the web at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K.
Okay, we got it. I will say at the beginning of the week, Jetson, you never have any idea what's going to happen.
No.
Did you expect the Big Bopper would make your wrap up at the end of the week?
You know what? I've left all my options open, so I'm not surprised by anything.
The point is, we do have a podcast, which is available through Apple Podcasts, of course, radio.com, and wherever you get your Stitcher and whatnot. Check out the Kevin DeBean Show, because if you miss a minute, I've heard you miss a lot. Allie.
Bean.
Time for our final What's Happening for the Week.
Sure is.
This is exciting.
Yeah, I want to bring you the story. It's not about Bean, so you don't have to interrupt and say, I can't believe you're telling the story about me.
Oh, is this
not
the thing with my dong? Yeah,
yes,
I know.
Big dong, dude.
It's embarrassing,
yes.
But I understand you
she
have
She wants
to.
You to not admit it, even right. though we clearly right. know it's about you.
It is about me, okay.
So a well-hung British man claims...
Hello.
I know. Claims he was accused of shoplifting... because his large penis was mistaken for stolen goods stuffed down his pants.
And this is not the first time this has happened to me either, by the way.
So Steve Whitehurst said, I had very tight jeans on that day, and there was a bulge, yes, but that's not illegal. I can't help the way I was made. He said that he was stopped by suspicious staff. He was out with his girlfriend and his 18-month-old grandson. He claims that staff at Scott's Menswear still refused to believe him. So he went over to a cubicle to show all to a male security guard. He said, eventually, I dropped my trousers in front of everyone and just stood there in my boxer shorts and said, see, I've got nothing to hide.
Hey, folks. Here's what the security guard had to say.
Wow, I'd really like penis.
That's where Kevin's been.
He's over in England checking out junk. Well, here's the part that just made me go, what are you doing? These people. A spokesperson for JD Sports said the company that owns the store said He was only stopped because he was, quote, exhibiting suspicious behavior. And then another source told the media that when he did finally drop his pants, the bulge was much smaller than staff remembered it. That's like every dude that you say, I don't want to go out with you. And he's like, yeah, I didn't want to go out with you anyway. You're ugly and I hate you. Like, what is this? What are they saying in this store?
I think what they're suggesting is that at one point he did have something stuffed out his pants that he was able to ditch before the strip search.
Yeah, I think that they were just mortified that they made a guy pull down his pants.
They should be.
As they should be.
They went into an air-conditioned room, too. It was colder in the
room.
Was
it cold in there?
Okay. It was freezing.
He's a grower, not a shower. Come on now.
The bulge was much smaller than staff remembered it. What dick?
Also, they keep saying staff as if that's not a pun.
Right. Sure. How about the security guard, by the way, who whose job it is to go in and inspect the guy after he drops trail?
Yeah.
How do you get that job?
Is that what you're looking for in England?
Yes.
Are you Googling it right now? You're like Scott's menswear.
Just pictured as like a dude's dong.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
So we now know that Bean's real name is Steve Whitehurst. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, horny little grandpa.
There you have it.
That guy had a hell of a story to tell when he got home that day.
Yeah, he did, for sure. Do you think his wife was like, who cares? Let's do it.
Right.
That big dong.
She's like, now the whole world knows.
Right. Now she's got to be worrying about him every time he leaves the house.
Like, also, what did you steal? What was in your pants? Let's be honest here.
It's like, also, I brought home this kielbasa. So American Airlines is denying that Tyler, the Creator's claim of he's not on the fly list. He's on the no-fly list. They're saying, yeah, that's not real, Tyler. Don't say that. He tweeted yesterday, I'm on American Air no-fly terrorist list. What the hell did I do? And the company initially replied, we'd like to look into this. Send us a quick DM with your record locator, which I just find funny. Mm. Like, let us help you and figure out why you're on the no-fly terrorist list. But a spokesperson for the airline told Billboard that American does not have a terrorism watch list. That list is controlled by the FBI. But since Tyler, the Creator, is flying with us today and was actually on one of our flights, the tweet is not accurate. Tyler, if you're on their plane, you're probably not on the no-fly list.
Yeah, what's he trying to do? I don't understand what his point is.
I don't know. Engagement on Twitter.
Tyler, the Creator, he created content.
Yes, he did. Yes. He really did.
Jensen, is he awful?
No, he's great.
Is he a nice guy?
I mean, I've only met him in passing, really, and he seemed nice in those times.
Okay.
You just hate when he was on the show here.
Yeah, I mean, granted, that's been my only exposure, and it was a phone interview with him, and he sure seemed to hate me.
He's from the Beastie Boys school. A little
okay.
bit.
He'll just
far
troll
as
you.
Interviews. Yeah, he likes trolling. But he's done great sort of boundary pushing things for hip hop, both socially and musically. I think I don't listen to a bunch of his music. I probably give it one full listen to know what it is nowadays. But I was a big Odd Future fan in the early
May
days.
I play a clip of just a small portion of the interview with
Please.
Tyler, the Creator? I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Is there going to be much music on it as well, or just acting?
You will see.
Okay. That's Tyler, the Creator, right there. I'm going to put him on a no-fly list if I can.
He's with the Billy Bob Thornton, too, right? Kind of a similar kind of style.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I think Billy Bob gave a lot more.
I mean, at least a lot more drops.
Yeah.
Ugh. Not to Tom Petty, would you?
I wouldn't say that to Tom Petty.
Probably
Billy
wouldn't.
Bob, you are totally right.
I'm not sure what that means.
Well, I'm just responding to you saying you wouldn't say that to Tom Petty.
I've never met him.
Tom Petty?
You brought him up.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, you're the one that brought him up.
Brought him up.
So.
Well, I think it's odd that you have to smoke inside a white stripe outside.
Oh.
I think that's odd, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what you mean by that.
You just said it was odd, so I was agreeing.
You keep bringing
it's
things
odd.
Up. Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You literally just brought it up.
You
and
are
then
saying
you say,
things.
That's odd that you'd say that. Then I just say, no, it's you that originally said it.
Very strange.
Well, mashed potatoes are no gravy. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
That's a great point.
That settles it.
He shut us up.
You can't argue with mashed potatoes with no
really,
gravy.
You can't. No. Some birthdays for you. Gwyneth Paltrow, Lil Wayne, Avril Lavigne, Meatloaf.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
You know who gets meatloaf? Associate producer Christine, because it's her birthday as well. And happy birthday. That's what's happening.
Christine is another one of those people, by the way, who could be 18 or could be 60.
Yeah,
it's impossible to tell. She never ages a day.
The Breckenmeyer School of Beauty.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, on your drive home today, listen to Stryker and Klein's commercial free-for-all. It's a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Thank you so much to everybody who endured the Kevin and Bean Show this week. And a special thanks to Jensen and Allie and Beer Mug for helping me out so much with Kevin on vacation. He will be back on Monday. We got a great show planned for you, including an all-new edition of Animal Stories. We're going to get into that discussion. We started to have a little bit yesterday about people who are unconventionally unattractive,
yeah,
but you still want to bone them. Mm-hmm. All of that plus great news Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
So I guess this is a thing now?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Whatever, the truth is stupid.
Roll another one.
But this is America, I want it now.
Just like the other one.
Angry guy needs a hug.
This seems to be about quit.
And she beat him off.
And I need another hit.
Please, I hate to say this about anyone, but that man is full of bologna.
Bologna.
You're right. He's so vile, we should use the crude Americanization of the word. He's full of baloney.
Roll another one.
Race war!
Just like the other one.
America.
This one seems to be about the
best. You're better than that!
And I don't have another cent.
I'm Allie McKay. I'm here with my husband, Chip. We've been married for 17 years.
Leave my taco alone.
Just pass it around.
I don't think so.
And don't bogart that joint, my friend.
I'm Hulk Hogan, by the way.
And just pass it on down.
Guys, why don't you just get out of here, all right?
Yeah, it's all right. We'll go back to our chairs.
No, I mean get out of here. Leave.
And when you're done, cleanup is quick and easy. Just pull out the sleeve, pour out the contents, and wash it with soap and water.
Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night. The phone, make sure the kids hear words.
Bong, bong.
Also on the web at carsforkids.com.